జయం శుభపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిల్లా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద నమోమిష పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి సుపదాంబికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామినే శ్రీ వర్షభానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంభుజాయదే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపానుగవరాయదే. గౌరావిర్భవ భూమిస్థం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే. చేదం సురదౌమాంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వ పదాంభోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ. దివ్య వృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీహరి రాధా శీల గోవింద దేవౌ ప్రష్టాళిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్ రాసరసారంభి వంశీవటతట స్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోభేర్ గోపీనాథా శ్రీయస్తునా. తప్తకాంజన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందం.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshini Bhagavati Mashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhanami Bhagavad Gide Bhavadveshini Namostude Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Laravindaya Damatra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Daila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradiba Prabhanna Parijadaya Totra Vetra Igabanaya Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrata Duhe Nama Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amrata Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaji Paramanandam Krishnam Mande Jagadgurum Vishwadronadana Jayadrida Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalyagrahavadi Krupena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vigarna Gora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Kalubanda Vairananadi Kaivartaga Keshavam Parashadya Vajasaroja Mamalam Idartha Gandhol Kadam Anakhyanaga Kesaram Harikatha Sambhodana Bodhidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadaira Harahappe Biyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Pradhvam Sinashreyase Mugam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Lenghayate Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Maruta Stanvandi Divyai Savair Vedair Sangapadair Kama Upanishadair Gayandiyam Samagah Dhyana Vastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyam Dhamma Vidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namah
So this last chapter in the Uddhava Upadesham or Uddhava Gita is what we have started last Sunday, and in this chapter whatever Krishna has spoken before, if you remember in the last chapter, 28th chapter, Krishna summarized all the Jnana Margam in one chapter. What he has spoken at different times in the from 7th chapter onwards till then, whatever Krishna has spoken, he summarized the whole thing of the process of knowledge, and that was what was covered in the 28th chapter. Similarly, you will also notice whatever Krishna has spoken about bhakti process till then is all summarized in this chapter, in the 29th chapter, in this 29th chapter. So, 28th chapter was a summary of Jnana Margam, And 29th chapter was the summary of Bhakti Yoga. And this is the practically last chapter in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. And Krishna, again Uddhava is saying to Krishna that whatever you have spoken so far is difficult. It's difficult, Krishna is saying. You see, Bhagavadam is like this, that Bhagavadam in different ways we have to take into absorbing it. For example, we hear Bhagavadam from different people and different sources. We hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever we have heard, we have to analyze it within ourselves, which is known as mananam, contemplation of that. Plus, we can look into commentaries on the Bhagavatam, Vyakhyanam, or from Sri Sridhara Swami's Vyakhyanam, Madhusudana Saraswati, and Viraraghavacharya, and Vallabhacharya, and many others who have commented on Srimad Bhagavatam. Commentaries are available. You can read them, and from there also you can get a lot of understanding of the Bhagavatam. Just like when you hear Bhagavatam, from there you get your own understanding of the Bhagavatam from what you have heard. That is through the process of Shravanam, hearing process. Similarly, from reading from the commentaries on the Bhagavatam, from many famous personalities who have commented according to their realization, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, Sridhara Swami, and many others. There are 14 or 16 major commentaries on Bhagavatam, which are available all over. And those, reading those commentaries also, you will absorb something from there. In addition to these two, there is a third thing. How to connect everything with our life in this world. That is the most important thing. That simply reading Srimad Bhagavatam as a story that has happened 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago somewhere in some planet, and just reading that and leaving behind is of no use. How to bring this understanding from the Bhagavatam practically into our life? So our life also plays an important role in understanding Bhagavatam. Because so many experiences in life is teaching us many, many things. Without any book, we learn from life, is it not? So many things we learn. And observing things in this world, like Dattatreya observed, 24 spiritual masters, he didn't read any Bhagavatam for that. Just by observation from life and one's own experience in life, we started seeing certain realities of this world. And that experience has a big contribution in realizing Bhagavatam. So connecting all the three things, what we have heard, what we have read in the other commentaries, and what we have experienced in life, bringing this all these things together is what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it is not making any sense. If you are just reading Bhagavatam, somebody has said something somewhere long ago, millions of years ago, Hiranyakashipu went to the forest to perform penances. What relevance has it got to do with me today? I am the one who is suffering here. So I need to find a solution to my problems so that I don't have to continue experiencing this misery anymore. Therefore, there has to have some relationship with what Hiranyakashipu did, what Ravana did, what Kamsa did, what Kumbhakarna did, and many other devotees, what they have done, how to bring them all into, in effect, with our own, to connect it up with our own life, and able to come to some proper conclusions inside. That takes time, and that requires a lot of time and effort. So anyway, going back to this chapter, Krishna mentions there that Uddhava says to him that he uses the word Sudushcharam imam manni yogacharyam analpana. He begins like that. Sudushcharam imam manni yogacharyam analpana. Analpana means one who is absorbed in the body. For him, all this yoga system, what we have spoken so far, is difficult. Is anjasa puman siddhe tanme bruhanja anjasa achyuga. He says here that unless the mind is under control, this is not possible. To prolong this yoga process, what Krishna spoke in the last chapter, it's not possible. And that is the most difficult thing, to bring the mind under control. So instruct me in such a way that, such a process, that I can also, everybody else can do the same thing. This control of the mind and following this process in such a way yada anjasa puman siddhye tanme brohi anjasa achyuta, saying to Krishna. So he said there that one person who doesn't have enough strength inside and knowledge of the self, and if he is not matured enough inside about realization of the self, then for him it is very difficult. Because if you are completely in identification with the body, all those verses in the last chapter won't make any sense. It will just go like this on top of the head. It will fly. It won't go in. So that's what Uddhava is saying here. So you have to tell us in such a way that something that we can follow properly in life and experience it within us. Otherwise, how can it be? He says, it may be due to my own imperfections, Uddhava says. It may be due to my own imperfections because I do not have that spiritual maturity. Uddhava is speaking on our behalf now, not on his own position. So, how can this become practical in our life? This is Uddhava's question. So, only if it becomes practical, then he will feel some happiness while leaving this world. If I haven't got any knowledge of the self or experience level, then when I leave this world also, I'll feel very disappointed. Whole life I read Srimad Bhagavatam and I heard Krishna's instructions to Uddhava and to Arjuna and many other devotees' prayers to Krishna. All that I have been hearing and reading and listening and all that. But at the end, when I leave this body, if I haven't got any practical experience in me, any benefit from that, then I would find that very difficult, very, very difficult. So that is what Krishna, Uddhava said there. So he said, Prayasha Pundarikaksha Yunjanto Yogino Mana Vishidande Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshidaha Vishidande Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshidaha. So all these processes, Krishna say, Uddhava says, I have understood, is only for controlling the mind first. The mind has to come under control. Mind has to come under control. So many things, times we have mentioned this, that as long as if my mind tells me there is happiness outside, it will go after that. So first I have to get convinced myself that if I am looking for any kind of happiness in the world outside, one day it's going to give me distress. This conviction I have to come to first. And that's not easy. I'll forget that. Again, something I find fascinating in the world, I'll go after that. This is the nature of this mind. So, till we come to realization that everything, any object outside me is going to give me trouble tomorrow. No matter who it is, a person, an object, whatever it may be. Today, you may feel some attachment to it and you will feel that object is giving me happiness. But one day, that same object or person is going to give me misery. One way or the other, it will happen. That's the way it is, Maya works in this world. So Krishna's point is, till you come to this understanding that there is nothing outside that can give me proper happiness inside, I have to come to that realization first, number one. Number two, whenever Krishna mentioned that before, isn't it? Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, sprahadaya, ahangarascha drishyande, na janmi murti nalpmana. That everything is in relationship with the ahangaram. Ahangaram is experiencing all emotions, what we see in this world. Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha. Various things, emotions Krishna talked about in the last chapter, all of them are in relationship with the ahangaram. If I am experiencing it, it means ahangaram is there inside, still accepting it. Is it not? So, knowing the presence of ahangaram and getting ourselves free from that ahangaram is one. Secondly, to know that there is no happiness outside. If there is any happiness in the world, it has to come from the soul. These realizations are important. Uddhava is saying to him, Krishna, that those things hasn't happened to ordinary people easily because they are in a different situation. And therefore, because their mind is not under control, it is everyone's hard job to make sure that the mind does not influence these decisions. So, and everyone is experiencing this world, some misery one way or the other. Various miseries are coming from different sources and they are disturbed over it and they are thinking what to do next. What one is supposed to do in this situation. And constantly ourselves we feel that nothing is working here. Everything is going out of control. We can't do anything about it. And in this way, Uddhava says, a person who is observing this constantly, that things are not going to go very well in this place. And such a person, he will realize very soon that there is nothing outside to give him happiness in reality. And most of the people's experience in this world is that even though distress is there outside, even though no happiness is coming from outside, till to go after them, to chase them still. And eventually in return comes distress and misery from that. So this is the normal experience of the people. And many people, when they come to spiritual life, even when there is a little obstacle and objection, then he will immediately find it difficult to go further in the spiritual path. So most of the people, Krishna is saying here, that Vishidandhya Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshitaha. That means that my nature is, I should not have any obstacles in my spiritual life. Everything should go very smoothly in life. And everything should come favorably. Nothing should come in an unfavorable way. And this is everybody's desire and everyone's opinion also. If life is all working out everything in a favorable way, then I am ready to sit and listen to a few minutes to Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. But if life is giving me all kinds of problems, miseries from all sides, then I'm not that keen about it. Because then I'm thinking, what's the use? It'll come like that, isn't it? So everyone is struggling very hard not to have any obstacles in life. Any blocks, in other words. But just by trying, it does not go away. It's still coming, isn't it? And not only that, sometimes it's coming more than what expected. Builds up so strongly that it stops all your spiritual activities to such an extent it takes over our life. So Krishna saying, Adhada Ananda Dukham Padambujam Hamsa Shrayeran Aravinda Lochanam Sukham No Vishveshwara Yoga Karmabil Ton Maya Yame Vihada Na Manina. So addressing Krishna as Aravinda Lochana, a person with the lotus eyes, and that one who takes shelter completely of your lotus feet, and one who can experience some shelter in that place, and one who has developed that maturity inside, pakoda, and jnana nishta. Nishta means established in the knowledge. And one who has not that almaviryam. Almaviryam means that strength of spiritual life. Only few people can do that. That others do not have that experience. Others don't have the strength inside, nor do have the realizations or nishta in the knowledge or the maturity within them. But everybody is not... Most of the people belong to that category. And he uses the word, Ton mayayami vihata na manina. Particularly if there is false ego inside. Those who have got ahangaram inside, it's much more difficult. See that? Sukham na visheshwara yoga karma bhi, Ton mayayami vihata na manina. Manina means who has strong false ego inside. And so therefore Paramahamsas don't have any ego. Paramahamsas don't have any false ego. We have discussed how this false ego grows inside and where it's born and how it stays and everything. So and those who have taken complete shelter of Krishna, Sharanagari, completely surrendered to Krishna, for them ego goes away. And they are able to reach Krishna somehow. But those who are moha, who does not have that understanding, For them, they will have these obstacles in life and they will come and trouble them a lot.
So, therefore, your Maya will kim chitramachyutat adedam
tadetaveda nashesha bandho daseshu ananya sharaneshu yad atmasattvam yo arojayal sahamrugai swayam ishwaranam shrimal kirida tadapidida padapidaha kim chitramachyutat adedam ashesha bandho daseshu ananya sharaneshu yad atmasattvam yo arojayal sahamrugaihi swayam ishwaranam shrimal kirida tadapidida padapidaha. So,
Uddhava is saying, it's not at all surprising that your devotees are not affected by Maya.
He's talking about devotees of the highest level. That, so, that means, this is the mercy, Krishna's grace, Uddhava is talking about. Shrimal kirida tadapidida padapidha. He says, those who have succeeded in taking your shelter, what an amount of grace you have shown to them. And only few people are able to do that. And if somebody is taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna does not have any problems. He is willing to offer them anything. What they want. And there are many, many instances in the Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, everywhere. Krishna showing that mercy to them, unlimited mercy. Only when somebody is willing to take shelter. To those who have taken shelter, Krishna has shown some unlimited mercy or grace towards them. And he gives examples there. Srimad Kirira Tadapedida Padapeda. Lord Brahma including, who comes and fallen at Krishna's lotus feet, asking for shelter. And Krishna has shown shelter. You have to remember what Brahma has done, isn't it? Looking at what he has done, and Krishna did not take it in any way badly, he still gave him shelter to Brahma. That is what he is referring to. Nobody will forget Brahma's offense to Krishna, what he did. In the 10th canto, you can read that, isn't it? That Krishna Martyam Upashyati, after all, he is a human being in this world. So Brahma took thought that for a minute and took away all the calves and cows from Krishna. And Brahma thought that, let me see what Krishna can do. That ahankaram Brahma had. Even to slight a trace of ahankaram inside, you will see in the whole of spiritual life, whether it is in Ramayanam, or in Srimad Bhagavatam or Mahabharatam, this one thing, even if there is a trace of ahankaram, Krishna will smash it down, no matter who it is. Whether it is Brahma, whether it is Shiva, whether it is Rukmini Devi, whether it is Radharani, whether it is Sita Devi, it doesn't matter. You can look into their life and their relationship with Ramachandra or Krishna, you will see when there is a trace of ahankaram, Krishna will make sure it's gone, one way or the other. Right in the middle of Rasa dance, Krishna left Radharani and ran away, went away from there, is it not? And put them all in a great distress. And Radharani's prayers, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see that Krishna is Krishna and he will not be allowed to question their authority. Sita Devi in the same way. Last minute, Ramachandra sent her to the forest. If that is Martyavadara Seha Martyashikshanam, Bhagavatam says. So, Rukmini Devi, Krishna said at one point, you can go and get married to Shishubala, I have no problem, he said. So, where do you find this? But, to all of them, Krishna has shown them the greatest of all the grace, or Kripa also, to all of them. But here, referring to Lord Brahma, he says, Srimad Kirida Tadapidida Padapidha. Brahma came to see Krishna, and with the four heads he was touching and crying, and tears were coming. Because when he realized that what the mistake he has done, it was then that Krishna showed the grace to him. Krishna didn't take that into the heart, said that you can go back and get back your job whatever you are doing there. So all these things is only indicating to us that Krishna is so kind to those people, who even they who have gone to question or shown any kind of trace of ego in front of Krishna, they had to face this. And even the monkeys who accepted Krishna, Krishna as Ramachandra, he has protected them when he appeared as Ramachandra. And they were Krishna's greatest friends in that appearance. In that appearance, they were the greatest friends. They were also demigods who came in that form, in the Vanara form, monkey form. So, even there, you have shown in that form also, you have shown them this grace. So if you want to show, you will show it to anybody, if you want to, provided there is surrender. There is surrender. So anyone who completely taken Krishna shelter in all ways, then there is no other proof required that he will be protected under all circumstances, provided the Sharanagati is complete. That is the condition. If there is total surrender to Krishna, completely surrender to Krishna, he will be protected under all circumstances. And that Krishna has shown with Brahma, with Shiva, and with Radharani, with Rukmini, and with also with Sita Devi. In all these appearances, all this is what we have seen. And he says, Tvam tva akhilatma daideshwaram ashridanam sarvarthadam sugradavidvisradena konu srijeta konu kova bhajet kimabhi vismradayena bhute kimva bhavena tava padrajo jushamna. So, because Krishna is so kind, magnanimous and kind in giving this mercy, that they will take your shelter under all circumstances. Under all circumstances. They have, and they know that who will give up your association, who will give up your shelter. And even for the sake of opulences, they will come to you. And what will happen is that sometimes people worship other deities for material happiness. And when material happiness comes, then they forget about the Antaryami, about Krishna inside. But if you worship or if you surrender to Krishna, and even though you will be given all the material happiness what you require for maintaining this body, you will also have the advantage that you will not forget him. That benefit is there while serving Krishna. So Krishna will look after all our material necessities. Material necessities will be provided. But at the same time, Krishna also makes sure that you don't forget him. That is the benefit he says here. But therefore, pure devotees, they completely hold on to your lotus feet. And anyone who knows that Krishna is present inside as the Antaryami, he would not go and worship another form for happiness in this world. Because if they do that, they will sometimes, it is possible that they can become very sinful in this life. And therefore, intelligent people always take your shelter, says Uddhava. Kimva bhavena tava padrajo jushamna. Padrajo jushamna. After saying that, the next verse is important. Uddhava says to Krishna, the last line if you look there, Acharya Chaitya Vabusho Sugadim Vinakti. There is a statement there. Acharya Chaitya Vabusha Sugadim Vinakti. What does that mean? That Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying, that for devotees, Krishna is their soul. And he is the closest friend. And he is the Acharya also. Not only that, for them, you are everything for them. You are everything for them. So, so when the devotees know that you have such a merciful nature, will they leave your grace and go and take somebody else's shelter? In other words, nobody will go to worship another form. And whatever they are desiring, you will offer them everything.
And even if they commit mistakes in their life, you tolerate them. You still tolerate them. So, such devotees who know the glories of your lotus feet, they will never leave them. They will never leave that service. And they will completely take your shelter and eventually they will get your mercy and they will become perfect in life. This we are talking about pure devotee's life. Pure devotee's life. How many devotees are there like that? Very, very, very few. Very, very few. And those another devotees who serve Krishna now and then and sometimes forget. Sometimes serving them, sometimes forget him. Even for them, Krishna sometimes gives them opulences in life. And if it is like that, those devotees who never forget Krishna, how much mercy they receive from Krishna? Uddhava is asking. Those who are even forgetting and remembering, forgetting, remembering like that, half devotee you can say, on and off, even them, Krishna is looking after them. Their needs are met and they are cared for. So, even when they are receiving this grace from Krishna, what to talk about those who are 24 hours thinking about Krishna and serving Him? They will get everything what they need and there is no doubt about that. And if anybody has taken shelter of them, they won't have any upasargam. Remember the two things we spoke, andarayam and upasargam. They will not have any upasargam. Because upasarga means any blocks in their spiritual life. And even if any upasargam comes, it will not cause any problems for them. Any problems for them. Lord Brahma's life, Neivobayandya bhajadim kavayastavesha Brahma ayushabi kritamurdhamodas surasmarandaha Yo andarbahi tanupradham ashubham vidhunvan Acharya Chaityavavasho Sogadim Vinakti. He says here that Lord Brahma, his lifetime is very long. It's very, very long. You know the calculations are there in the Bhagavatam. How long Lord Brahma lives, isn't it? Something like 4.2 billion years or something. We can't even comprehend that, isn't it? Because our life, if we get 60 or 70, we consider lucky. 60 or 70 years. And every time a new year comes, you see how fast the 1 year has gone out of that 60 or 70, whatever it is. And we are, compared to Brahma, we are just like bubbles here. Isn't it? Small bubble has come and gone. That's our lifespan here. So, Brahma's lifespan is so long. And imagine that such a lifespan is given to a scholar, highly learned scholar. And if that scholar start glorifying Krishna for all his lifetime, even if his whole lifetime he spends to glorify Krishna, it is impossible to do that. So, in other words, Krishna's glories are so unlimited that it is impossible to glorify in a lifetime of Lord Brahma even. And you are blessing devotees in two different ways. Says Uddhava. In two different ways you are blessing them. From inside as well as from outside. From inside as well as from outside. From inside as Antaryami and outside as the Acharya. That is that verse. You see that? Acharya Chaityavabhusha Sogadim Vinakti. It's important understanding. Which means that person who is talking to you from outside as Acharya is not different than the Antaryami inside. Antaryami comes outside in a form and talks to you. Acharya Chaitya Vabhusha Sugadim Vinakti. That is the understanding. That is why we say spiritual master is not different from Krishna. Because of this statement. Acharya Chaitya Vabhusha Sugadim Vinakti. That inside a Sandaryami in the Chaitya Guru or in the Chetas, it's called Chaitya Guru, which is Sandaryami, as well as Acharya Chaitya Vabhusha Sugadim Vinakti, outside as the spiritual master. They are one and the same person who instructs you in the form outside, and the person who is instructing from outside, his job is to get your mind go inwards. That's what he does. So, therefore, Acharya and the Antaryami, they are not two, they are one. They are one and the same. And both of them are convincing you the truth all the time, talking to you about the truth. And those who have taken Krishna's shelter, Krishna is sending the Ascensi Acharya to them, to speak to them from externally and from inside at the same time. Antaryami is giving the revelations. Antaryami reveals to you from inside what the truth is. So Antaryami helps us from within, Acharya helps us from outside. And in this way, from both sides, inside, outside, constantly you are driving people inwardly. And if any, this facility is there, Uddhava is asking, what need is there for us to go elsewhere? And not only that, we have no doubt, whatever we require will be provided and looked after. Even then, even though it is like that, everybody does not have that opportunity to have that relationship, isn't it? And he says, this thing can only be known only from Krishna also. This understanding, Acharya Chaitya Bhusha Sugadim Vinakti, this also has to come from Krishna. Only if Krishna reveals that to us, we will know it. That as Acharya from outside and Antaryami from inside, both are speaking the same thing to us about self-realization. Ultimately, both of them are instructing us what? To come out of the body. To become the identification with the self, isn't it? So, how Uddhava is asking, people who have some maturity in life, how will they come to this realization of Acharya Chaitya Bhusha Sugatim Vinakti, that realization, if they have a lot of upasargam comes to them and blocks are coming in their life? And is there any easier process to get this understanding inside? And Uddhava is asking here. Practically, Uddhava is changing the question in different ways, same question. He is asking again and again, in different forms he is putting it to Krishna to get an answer from him. And that is where Shri Shuka Uvacha, you will see there. Krishna is saying, ityuddhavenat anurakta chetasa prishto jagal kridhanaga swashakti bhim grihida murti trayam ishware ishvaro jagada saprema manohara smitaha ityuddhavenat anurakta chetasa prishto jagal kridhanaga swashakti bhim grihida murti traya ishvare ishvaro jagada saprema manohara smitaha. So when this Uddhava asked this question, that Krishna, who has accepted the three form, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, and he smiled and started answering in the following way. And that is the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, that you have to remember, Uddhava is very attached to Krishna. Very attached to Krishna. And Uddhava's attachment to Krishna is such that practically his mind is completely diluted in Krishna. You can say to such an extent it is dissolved with Krishna. Because of that bhakti, he wanted to know these things very clearly, and he asked this question. He says to Krishna that your potencies, different potencies, like creative potency, potency of maintenance, and potency of destruction. All these three potencies, you have managed to keep them separately with three different personalities as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. And then this Leela is continuing. Your own Leela is going on. And then like children are playing with the toys, you are playing with these universes. With the universes you are playing with them, and your divine pastimes which are going on all over from one universe to another. And when these things were reminded, Uddhava reminded them to Krishna, Krishna smiled and started answering those questions.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Handade Kathayishyami,
Mama Dharman Sumangalan, Yan Shraddhayajaran Martyo, Mrityum Jayati Durjayam. Krishna says, Uddhava, that these Mama Dharman Sumangalan, what it means is Krishna saying, I'll make a very easy way of talking about Bhagavata Dharma. That's what it is. This Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna has spoken directly. All other Dharma has spoken through the Rishis, isn't it? Vedam was spoken through the Rishis, Upanishads have spoken through the Rishis. And then other Dharma, Varnashrama Dharma, everything was spoken through Rishis and through great devotees like Bhishma and many others. But this Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna didn't allow anybody else to talk about. He spoke himself. That's the difference. That's what he's saying here. Handade kathayishyami mama dharman sumangalan yan shakti ajaran martyo mrityum jayati durjayam. This is the beauty of Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma's beauty is that it is spoken directly by Krishna, not through another person, not through the rishis, not through the saints or sages or other realized souls or great devotees or jnanis. No, nobody. Directly Krishna has spoken Bhagavata Dharma. That is why Bhagavata Dharma is very special. It's coming directly from Krishna's lips, Krishna's lotus lips. So if you follow this Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna says that whatever other processes you have followed and did not work out, this can help you to get over material existence easily. This Bhagavata Dharma. That's how Krishna says. Bhagavata Dharma. If you follow Bhagavata Dharma, it is possible, Krishna says, even if you have not succeeded in other processes which you may find difficult, like Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, every other yoga process, Ashtangam, whatever it may be, even if they are difficult and difficult to practice it, Bhagavata Dharma is easier, Krishna says. And Bhagavata Dharma, if you have proper attention and Shraddha there, and if you follow them, then you can get over material existence once for all and come out of this process of birth and death. Process of birth and death. That is what Krishna begins here. That is how Krishna begins here. So, you can see there that first Krishna spoke about the Bhagavata Dharma's importance. Bhagavata Dharma's importance. So, he began with Handa.
Handate kathayishyami mama dharman sumangalan yan shraddhayajaran martyo mrityum jayati durjayam.
It's not completely like that Handa, when Krishna is saying there, after I have spoken all these things for so many hours, that how sad it is. Not in that way, totally. But because towards Uddhava, Krishna is showing a special feeling for Uddhava. Krishna has that towards Uddhava. After all, 115 years of life together, and Krishna has called him for all his special missions. You will see Uddhava was the person who did everything, all the important missions. When, if you look back into the history, when the gopis were very disturbed after Krishna's departed from Vrindavanam to Mathura, whom did Krishna choose to go and console them? That was Uddhava, is it not? At that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, you are the only person who is capable of delivering this message to the gopis. And he sends Uddhava to them, to speak, to deliver the message to the gopis. So instances like that in the Bhagavadam, you can observe that Krishna had a very special relationship with Uddhava, which he didn't have with anybody else, to the extent that what he had with Uddhava. Therefore, he made him prime minister as soon as Kamsa was killed. Seeing Uddhava's intelligence and that loyalty and the and the capacity to understand what Krishna is saying. Often many things what Krishna spoke and many people did not understand, but Uddhava was able to understand. Similarly, when Sri Narada Maharshi came to Krishna in Dwaraka, requesting him to get involved in the Rajasuyam sacrifice with Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to perform and wanted permission from Krishna to do the Rajasuyam. Krishna thought for a while whether to go for Rajasuyam sacrifice. At the same time, another message came from the the kings who have been imprisoned by Jarasandha. And they wanted, a representative had come from them, that Jarasandha is going to slaughter all those kings who were put into the prison. And at that time, these two representatives came same time. Narada Maharshi came from Hastinapur with the message from Yudhishthira Maharaj requesting Krishna to come for performing Rajasuyam. And the other messenger of the kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha, their representative came from Jarasandha's place asking Krishna to interfere and to get rid of Jarasandha, otherwise he is going to kill all these 10,000 and odd kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha. So at that time Krishna is asking Uddhava, what do you think we should do? Then Uddhava gives the answer. So Krishna practically kept Uddhava as a sort of a consultant in many instances, you will see there. So you can see there, Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna says, I wanted to talk to you. Bhagavad Dharmam or Bhagavad Dharmam. Even though it is through knowledge that liberation happens, what it means is that with knowledge, bhakti is also necessary. All the time. Knowledge alone is not sufficient. That is the important message there. That is why this chapter is also important. Even though knowledge is necessary for liberation, with knowledge, bhakti is also necessary for liberation. For all the time it should be there. Just like we don't cook any vegetables without salt, isn't it? Salt is necessary and a important ingredient while cooking. But and when you cook any vegetable, salt must be there. If the salt is not there, whatever you have put in, it won't taste good. It won't taste good. Just like you make any nice sabji with all the masala or powder or whatever, and all the nice vegetables you have, all the spices you have brought in, but if the salt isn't there, it won't have its taste, isn't it? It won't have its taste. Similarly, whatever jnanam you have cultivated, whatever understanding you may have, and if the bhakti is not there, that knowledge what you have will not be experienced properly. Will not be experienced properly. In other words, in order to experience that jnanam without any upasargam, upasargam means that blocks what we spoke about. In order that jnanam to experience inside without any blocks, bhakti is necessary. If there is no bhakti, jnanam will not have any proper experience of the anubhava. Jnanam won't be there. Experience level, it won't be there. So, Krishna says here, this Bhagavata Dharmam, what Krishna is going to talk about now, with carefully one who follows that, he says there that Martyo Mrityum Jayati Durjayam. He can even come out of Mrityu, death, which is difficult to overcome. Even that he can overcome Jayati Durjayam. That even such a death, experience of death can be overcome by following Bhagavata Dharma. Mrityum Jayati Durjayam. Martya means one who is constantly dying. That's what our name is. Our actual name is, in the Shastram, is Martya. Martya means one who is constantly dying. We say we are growing, but actually we are dying, isn't it? In reality, it is death what's happening every moment. Say 60, 70 years. We say, oh no, he is grown up and then he is growing and he's peaked at 30 and all that we say. And then he keeps going down. But that's not the fact. The fact is that
The day you are born, the death is started. You're on your way out, isn't it? So, therefore, one who is ready to leave the body today or tomorrow or day after, he's called Martya. He's called Martya. And the most fearful thing for us, all of us, is death, when it is going to come. And is it possible to avoid death? No, that's also not possible. So, with one's own effort in that way, to constantly in fear we live in this world about this thing called death. So Krishna is saying, if he practices Bhagavata Dharmam, he can even come out of that fear of death. He can even come out of the fear of death. This is the essence of Bhagavata Dharmam he's talking about. Kuryat sarvani karmani madartham shanagai smaran mayarpita manaschitto madham atma manorati. See that? Kuryal sarvani karmani madartham shanagai smaran mayarpita manaschittam madham atma manorati. The ninth verse, isn't it? So this is the essence of this Bhagavata Dharma. Essence of the Bhagavata in one verse. In one verse, that's it. If you ask in one verse, what's Bhagavata Dharma? You remember another verse, Kayena Vaja Manasendriyava. That's Bhagavata Dharma. Here, in this chapter, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna begins with a verse like this. He says, Kuryat Sarvani Karmani Madartham Shanagai Smaran May Arpita Manaschitto Madharm Atma Manorati. That means, all time, the mind has to be in Krishna. All the time mind is, whatever the mind is absorbed in, that has to be in Krishna. It has to be in Krishna. Then, many times Krishna has spoken this in many, many different ways. For example, at different times, in different times in life, different karma we are forced to do in life, isn't it? Many, many karma we have to do it. And that may be due to our obligations in our life, our prarabdha, whatever that may be. Karma comes, one unable to stop that. Or, which is called dharmajarana. Dharmajarana means to comply with the needs of the world. We have to do that. Or, sometimes for others' sake, you may have to do it. Sometimes for yourself, sometimes for others' needs. For example, a father, mother has karma to perform to look after the children and all that. So, or some time to please the, not please, for the sake of the society, you may have to do certain things. Practically, Krishna is saying, it will be very difficult to live in this world without doing anything. You can't sit like that without doing anything. Many karma will come through us. So, doesn't matter whatever karma that comes, either through dharma, or for the sake of others, or for the sake of the one's own bodily maintenance, or maintenance of others, or for the sake of the society. Krishna is saying, "Mayarpita manaschitto madharm atma manorati." Atma rati. He says here, whatever it may be, if all that all becomes an offering to Krishna, and then it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. It has to become an offering to Krishna. How to turn everything as an offering to Krishna? That is what this all talking about. Because in all these situations, if inside there is surrender and to think that Krishna has put me in this situation today, there must be a reason behind it. And therefore, whichever way Krishna forces me to act, I will act in that way. In other words, a proper surrender there is necessary for Bhagavata Dharma. We are all put into different situations in life, is it not? Different places we are born, and different places we are living, and different karma we are doing in life, and different responsibilities and situations we have to deal with in life. All of us. Even in those situations, Krishna is saying to us that may arpita manaschitto madharm atma manorati. If you have proper surrender inside to me, to Krishna, he's saying, and you're always conscious that it is Krishna who is operating through us all the time.
whatever karma that's coming through us, if you are able to accept that, Krishna is acting through me, I'm just like an instrument or tool, I'm doing this. If that realization, if you are operating, which means all the time without any trace of false ego inside. If you conduct the work like that, any work, doesn't matter, Krishna says, it is Bhagavata Dharma. This is the beauty of Bhagavata Dharma. It gives you such a relief to know that any action in this world, because karma comes to us from all sides, in different forms, different karma we are all engaged in. No matter what the karma is, but if this understanding, that Bhagavata Dharma, it becomes Bhagavata Dharma, when one understands that, what we spoke in the third canto, Ishasya hi vashe loko yosha dharyumai yatha, Narada Maharshi says there. Just like we are put into this situation like a puppet in this world. Krishna is the puppeteer. He is pulling the strings. We have no freedom here. We have to do what we have been thrown at. And that karma is coming through this body. And knowing very well that it is Krishna behind it, karma is happening. In that way, if one is able to accept it, that means if karma results are not right, you have no right to complain because Krishna is doing it. If you are complaining, it means you are not accepted that. That means you are doing it. If the results are not favorable and everything is failing, even then you have to accept that it's Krishna who is doing it. That is easy. Krishna is doing it when everything is failing. But everything, if anything becomes successful, there also, without allowing the trace of false ego to develop inside, accepting that today Krishna wants this to happen in this way, it has happened. Good or bad, doesn't matter. So in both situations, if one is able to accept the results of the karma equal way, without disturbed by the results, which means there will be no ragadvesham. If you are disturbed by the results, means there will be ragadvesham. So that means there is no ragadvesham, you are not disturbed over the results. Krishna is conducting all the karma through this body and the mind. It's coming and passing through this body. I am not affected like a witness. If you are able to stay, that is Bhagavata Dharma. That's what Krishna is talking about here. He's saying here, Kuriyat sarvani karmani madartham shanagais maran may arpita manas chitto madhar alpa manorati. And while executing this karma, whatever may be the karma that comes through, still inside there is happiness. That Krishna is working, I am a tool, I am an instrument. Some people give the example, when you are cooking vegetables, you have the spoon. Now if the spoon thinks I am cooking, then it's the fault of the spoon, isn't it? Fault of the spoon. Spoon is just there like a spoon. Whatever you do with the spoon, it has to do that work. So similarly, we are like the spoon. We are like the spoon. Karma is passing through this body. That means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, practically has to go. That means it is Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga plus Krishna is Bhagavata Dharma. Karma Yoga plus Krishna is Bhagavata Dharma. That's all it is. Karma Yoga plus Krishna. But while executing this Karma Yoga, you have to always remember it is Krishna who is behind it. It is happening. Behind this happening. So in all these situations, Krishna says, Shanagais Maran, that when karma is passing through, you have to remember Krishna is doing this. Shanagai, little by little, slowly, slowly. You have to remember that. And keeping that smarana, remembrance inside, you have to do the karma. Never to protest against the karma. Oh, why Krishna has put me into this situation? Why does he want me to do this? Why doesn't he give me a work which I like? Those questions does not arise there. Because if you are differentiating like that, what does that mean? Vedabuddhi has come. Once the Vedabuddhi has come, Dvandvam has come. Dvandvam has come means you have to start from the beginning again, everything. So the idea is, somehow or the other, that Vedabuddhi has to go from inside. There is no karma in this world which is good or bad. All karmams are bad, all karmams are good also. So, but why we say it is good and bad? Because of Vedabuddhi inside us. That is why we say one karma is good and one karma is bad. Otherwise, all karma is bad. All karma is good also. There is no good and bad with the karma. It is only our mind that makes that difference, good or bad, in that sense. So, here, Krishna is saying here, that the that completely surrender to Krishna. That means it has to be fully surrender. They require no trace of false ego. Total sharanagati. That's what it is. Total sharanagati. And all the time you have to be absorbed in Krishna. Mind and the intelligence. Mind means what? Thoughts, isn't it? Thoughts. And intelligence means what? Memory. Intelligence is memory. You are checking with the past and making some decisions, isn't it? So all the time, your memory and your thoughts should be absorbed in Krishna. Memory and the thoughts should be absorbed in Krishna. It should not go back to the past. It should not go back to the future, the memory. You should not pull out things from the past and start analyzing. You shouldn't pull out things about the future and start analyzing. But right now, at this moment in time, all the memory should be Krishna is doing it. Krishna is doing it. In that state, that's a memory. And all the thoughts should be about Krishna. That Krishna's decision is coming through this body and this mind. And no, never allowing the false ego to have even a trace of that present in the actions that we do. So, madharm alma manorati. Krishna uses the word there. That madharm alma manorati means that madharma means my dharma, Krishna's dharma. And Krishna's dharma is alma. Alma is Krishna's dharma. And rati there, attachment there. Madharma alma manorati means attachment in full realization of this knowledge working in this world. Full realization. In full realization, working in this world. Karma is passing through, but you are always conscious that you are alma, not the body. Karma is passing through the body and the mind. It has nothing to do with the self. This realization. Madharma alma manorati. Alma manorati. So, when this is only possible when you are fully Krishna conscious, always in consciously in touch with Krishna, Krishna's glories, Krishna's pastimes, and mind getting absorbed in that. And normally, wherever happiness you find, that's where the mind will go. Mind will go in that direction, isn't it? Wherever there is misery, mind withdraws. Mind says, leave that behind. So, whichever way you think about that, from the Bhagavadam, and your memory comes to you, happiness will come to you from that. And in other words, all the time, your thoughts are in Krishna, absorbed in Krishna. And memory is also connected to Krishna. Connected to Krishna. And that, when you say connected to Krishna, remembering Krishna, it's not only through Srimad Bhagavatam that you are remembering this. For example, when we started today, I mentioned three things. What you have heard and what you have understood about Krishna by hearing process. What you have read from the commentaries of the Bhagavatam, what the other great devotees have spoken. Apart from these two, we all had little experiences in our own life where Krishna has shown to us, not directly, indirectly, some revelations from inside. And we have found that Krishna is sheltering us, providing some protection to us. All the little experiences every devotee has, one way or the other. You may not have thought, Krishna may not have come and personally told you anything. But you might have experienced yourself at some point in life that Krishna has given you some shelter and protection. Otherwise, things could have been a lot worse than what it is today. What it is today. So, without Krishna's protection and shelter, no living being can live in this world. It is impossible. So, but that realization will only depend on a devotee's nature, how much he has understood Krishna. Accordingly, he will realize it. If you have understood Krishna's protective nature, then you will know when you get that shelter from Krishna, even in very difficult situations. So that those three things, remembering them, what Krishna has offered you the shelter or protection in life, secondly, what you have read from the other commentaries of the Bhagavatam, and thirdly, from what you have heard from Bhagavatam directly, from the different devotees who have spoken in the Bhagavatam, all these things together. So, everything has to be in relationship with Krishna's glorious position. So, when you are thinking about all that, your mind is feeling very relaxed. and feeling happy about that. Similarly, while you're talking about Krishna, you feel happiness and bliss inside, and your mind is filled with happiness. So, in this way, all the time, your memory and thoughts becomes one with Krishna. Nothing goes outside Krishna. When we say about Krishna means, it is both as a person, as well as Atma, both as Brahman, as Atma. In other words, anything that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has told us so far, while analyzing that, you feel a great bliss inside, happiness inside. The knowledge, everything what Krishna has spoken, Bhikshu Gita, Hamsa Gita, Dattatraya Gita, or Krishna brought so many other personalities, isn't it? Bhishma talking about Varnashram Dharma, and Dattatraya Gita, all of these, Bhagavad Gita, all these different Gitas, wherever Krishna's knowledge is discussed, that is also where, if your mind is absorbed, that is Bhagavad Dharma. All that is Bhagavad Dharma. If you are absorbed in karma in this world, this Bhagavad Dharma, it is very difficult to put a limit on that, where it ends. It has got such a wide spectrum on that. So that involves your own experiences in life, what you have heard from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the others' experience which Krishna has given to us through the Bhagavatam, like the rishis, great rishis, and great jnanis, who have given their realization of what Krishna has spoken. What Krishna has spoken, what they have realized, which they give it to us, other great devotees and jnanis, all those is a part of Bhagavad Dharma. So every time, if our mind is absorbed in all these things, then Krishna is saying that Madharma Alpa Manorati. That Madharma Alpa is a very wide thing it is. Manorati. Mind is finding happiness in all these things. If the mind is finding pleasure in discussing about devotees, their realizations and their teachings, Krishna's different instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly instructions in the Ramayana, Mahabharatam, where Valmiki talks about, Vedavyas talks about, all these things combined together, plus your own experiences in your own personal life in this world, where you felt that Krishna has protected you in your life, plus what you have heard at different times and different people, all these things together, if you remain in these thoughts, even while engaging in karma, that means, Krishna says, that's Bhagavad Dharma. That is Bhagavad Dharma. That means that all your actions are all spiritualized then. It's all become spiritual then. And it has come to that stage that whether it is external activities or internal activities, all of them are spiritual then. It's not anymore material. Anymore material. See, karma is outside, isn't it? All karma happens in the world with the body and the mind. Mostly with the body, karma happens. Similarly, inside, it's all memory and thoughts. In the mind. It's all memory and thoughts. Karma is all outside with the body. So, if both these things, that means karma outside with the body and the memory and the thoughts inside with the mind, if both of them has become Krishna conscious, then that is Bhagavad Dharma. That is Bhagavad Dharma. So, it is for this purpose that Krishna is saying, do this, do this, do this, various things like that. It's for that purpose it's spoken. But the underlying principle is this, that whatever we do in our life, it has to become an offering to Krishna. It has to become an offering to Krishna. So, anything, any thoughts comes to us in our mind, it has to be in relationship with Krishna somehow, or Krishna's glorifications. So, and similarly, anything what you remember, it has to be something in relationship with Krishna. And so, in this way, inside, outside, all the time, unable to be separated from Krishna. Externally through work, you are in relationship with Krishna. Internally through thoughts and memory, you are in relationship with Krishna. But all circumstances, you are connected to Krishna. You are connected to Krishna. And if this has to happen, you have to have a very strong attachment to Krishna. Otherwise, it won't happen. Parama prema. Tvasmin parama prema rupa, Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutra, isn't it? So, So this premam, this attachment to Krishna, making that grow, is the root of this Bhagavata Dharma. Very root of Bhagavata Dharma is making this attachment growing inside to get attracted to Krishna and to be always absorbed in Krishna, externally and internally. And that you will see next verse. Deshan punyan ashrayeta mal bhaktai sadhubi shritan devasura manushyesho mal bhakta charitani cham. Then deshan punyan ashrayeta mal bhaktai sadhubi shritan devasura manushyesho mal bhakta charitani cham. So there Krishna is giving some hints that one should live in places where there are devotees. Where there are devotees. And devotees generally mean wherever devotees are living. That's all considered to be good places. And whether they are demigods, devasura manushyesho. Whether they are demigods or demons or human beings, whatever it may be, they should do such activities what the devotees do. They should be engaged in such activities what the devotees do. Practically, Krishna is saying there that devasura manushyeshu malbhakta charitanija. We have to live somewhere in this world, isn't it? We need some place to live. Where should we live? That's the question. So, you should simply don't look. Oh, all my relatives are here, so I should live there. That's wrong. Because not all the time relatives are very helpful in spiritual life. So if you start thinking that, because my relations are there, so let me live there. And that, but Krishna prefers that, of course this was spoken from a background, that it should be holy places to live. And that means river banks are generally considered holy. Any river bank. I don't know about Thames River, but lot of sinful things also go along the Thames River bank. But generally when Krishna said this, he refers to important Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri, Narmada, Sindhu, all these famous holy rivers he refers to. And you will see that all the ashrams in the traditionally in the past, they were built on the river banks. You can see Haridwar, Rishikesh. Everywhere close to the river bank, the ashrams were built. Many, many big famous ashrams were. All the rishis, if you look, Valmiki's ashram, Vedavyasa Maharshi, and many, many others, they all lived near the river bank. Saraswati river bank, he was there, isn't it? So, ashrams were there. Similarly, great temples, living next to the temples, famous temples. And very famous temples and ashrams, all of them, they're surrounded, living near to them will help. Will help. The idea is that if you live near Dubai, you have an opportunity to meet with Mahatmas. Opportunity to see the Mahatmas. And the idea is if you see this Mahatma, they should generate inside you some spiritual thoughts. If they are not generating any spiritual thoughts inside, then you have to ask the question, are they Mahatmas? What Krishna is talking about. Not by the dress. Don't go by the dress alone. Just by in their association, if it is generating some spiritual thoughts inside, and not anxiety inside, instead some spiritual thoughts inside, then it is only a circumstances favorable for that. Holy rivers, ashrams, and Mahatmas living there. They are all favorable for generating spiritual thoughts inside us. Because seeing their austerities, seeing their penance, seeing their detachment from the world, and their total commitment to spiritual life, that's all motivates others who come from the world, normal world, isn't it? So therefore Krishna says it is good to live in those places. And if you live in places where there is no pious activities, there is no spiritual thoughts, and places where there's a lot of sinful activities going on, one should not live there. That's also there, opposite to that. Because he will experience bad results from that. Hina. Hina means degraded experiences will come from that. And he, it's possible that he will also get involved in the sinful activities. In the sinful activities. So, if you live in places like that, even if you want to do something, sometimes, spiritual activities, you may not be able to do it because of the external environment. So say for example, you want to chant the holy name for some time, you are willing to chant, but nobody else wants to chant with you. Everybody wants to do something else. And you couldn't say that is a very holy place, isn't it? If you want to chant the holy name, and if you want to have some kirtan, and if everybody else is saying, no, we don't want all that, let's talk something else, we have so many other things to discuss. And if they're not showing any interest in your spiritual, you want to spend a little time in glorifying Krishna or talking about Krishna, and if they're not showing any interest, then that's not a holy place to live. And that means, if you want to engage in spiritual activities, there has to be someone else also who is willing to relish that, and at the same time, who is able to join you and appreciate that what you are doing, isn't it? Suppose there is nobody to do like that, then then it is very difficult. It is very difficult. So therefore, to engage in spiritual activities and not to have any disturbances from others or who are favorable to you in engaging in spiritual activities, So that is important. And if you are feeling a lot of problems from everywhere, nobody is showing any interest in spiritual side of life, and they are not willing to join you or engage with you in spiritual activities, and then such places has to be avoided, Krishna is saying here. And therefore, he mentions there that, ideally, he says, great souls, mahatmas, who are engaged in severe austerities and penances, tapas, or realized jnanis, or highly austere brahmanas, those persons, when they are living in their association, it will be favorable. And therefore, in Bhagavadam, you will notice that demigods, human species, demons, three type of people, asuras, devas, and manushyas, human beings, demigods and the demons. All three of them, devotees were chosen. Have you noticed in the Bhagavad? Vritrasura comes from the demoniac species. Is it not? Prahlada comes from demoniac species. Kundi Devi, Bhishma and others comes from the human species. They were mentioned there. So, in Puranam you will see devotees from all types of background. All types of background. Human species, from the demoniac species, and from the demigods also, you will see. Even among the human species, you will see from all category, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Muchukunda, Parikshit, all from the royal family, from the Kshatriya background. Then there are Bhishma, many others like that. Then there is Sudama and many others from the Brahmana background, from the Satuvanam side. Then there are personalities like Vaishyas, who, like our Bhikshu, he was a Vaishya practically, isn't it? Who became a devotee. And then there are ordinary people, Shudras, also Krishna's devotees in many places. Like, gopis are all connected with that, in that category. Gopis are connected with that. They are not considered, they are practically by profession they were Vaishyas, looked after the cows. But Sriyo, Vaishyas, Tada, Shudras, generally classified all in one. But whatever it may be, because they have taken Krishna's shelter, this Varnam Ashram has no meaning anymore, as far as they are concerned. So, many, many devotees have taken Krishna's shelter and escaped from here. For example, Mahabali. Who is Mahabali? He is a demon, isn't it? He is the head of the demons. Then what happened? He became the greatest devotee. We quote him as the emblem of Atmani Vedanam. Surrender. Nobody else could surrender like the way Mahabali did. So therefore, Krishna has to come down to see Mahabali at the end. So, he handed over everything to Krishna. That was his success. And even though Shukracharya tried very hard to stop it, which was an upasargam for Mahabali, Mahabali didn't care. He succeeded in surrendering everything to Krishna. That is Mahabali's glory. Even though born in a demoniac family. Even though born in a demoniac family, that is Krishna's grace. Is it not? What does it mean? Born in a demoniac family means full of Rajogunam inside. Is it not? Rajogunam inside. And Rajogunam won't allow easily to surrender. But in spite of that, Krishna made the situation in such a way and gave him the proper intelligence inside to surrender. So that has come from Krishna. In spite of the Rajogunam inside. That's Mahabali's success. So that is why even though his teacher, Shukracharya, spiritual master, told him not to give anything to Vishnu, he has come to take away everything from you, Mahabali's higher intelligence worked there. And Krishna gave that power to make that decision to him. So, similarly you can see Prahlada, born in the Hiranyakashipu's son, and Hiranyakashipu has been totally against Vishnu, gave him a very hard time for him. Is it not? Never allowed Prahlada to chant the holy name, never allowed him to chant with other devotees who are studying with him, and given him maximum punishment for chanting Hare Krishna. In spite of all that, what happened to Prahlada? Krishna, appeared in this world, a whole incarnation, Narasimha Murthy, incarnations just to please that devotee, Prahlada. So what is Bhagavatam saying is, irrespective of which background we are born, whether human body, demigod's body, or a demon's body, or Brahmana body, Kshatriya body, Vaishya body, or Shudra body, it does not matter. If Krishna decides to save us, any situations, irrespective of what background we come from, the mercy can come. Nothing will stop coming, that mercy coming to us. So, all these personalities, Mahabali, Banasura, you saw Banasura, Mahabali's grandson is, Prahlada's grandson is Mahabali, Mahabali's grandson is Bana. This Bana was a great devotee of Shiva, is it not? The whole story is in the Bhagavatam, you can see. Even to that Banasura, Krishna has shown his grace and finally released him from this world. So, they were all great personalities, all this, Mahabali, Bana, Prahlada and all that. And they were all from the same race, Asuras, isn't it? They enjoy life, once they enjoy life. So, but they all were given protection. They were all given protection. Think about Vibhishana. Vibhishana was a Rakshasa, isn't it? He was a Rakshasa. So, even in those species, Rakshasas, Asuras, Devadas, and in all races, devotees are born. That is the interesting thing. And that is only due to Bhagavata Dharma. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. He says, Bhagavata Dharma is the only one which create devotees in all species. Whether you are a demon, or a Rakshasa, or a Asura, or a Deva, or a Manushya, no matter what it is, you can become a devotee and Bhagavata Dharma can be executed even there. So, and how do they, these personalities who have born in different bodies, very difficult, isn't it? If you are born in the Asurik family, like if you take birth as Hiranyakashipu's son, to fight against Hiranyakashipu's might, to fight against that as a devotee is very, very hard. Similarly for Vibhishana with Ravana, it was very difficult. Vibhishana was a devotee, but Ravana was a real problem for him. Would not allow him to take the spiritual life. So even Ravana, Vibhishana and Prahlada and Mahabali, as usual, even him, were able to come out from that body and to experience spiritual life, even though they had a demoniac body. They had a demoniac body. So therefore, instruction is this. In Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna's point is, no matter where you come from, it has no relevance at all. What background you come from. You try you become a devotee and realize the truth, provided you follow the process of Bhagavata Dharma. It is possible. It is possible to follow Bhagavata Dharma irrespective of what background we have. That's what he says here.
Pruthak satrayana va mahyam parvayatra mahol savan karayed gita nritya adhyar maharaja vibhudibhi.
Maharaja vibhudibhi. So from now on, Krishna is talking about few things. What will help to develop bhakti? What will help to develop bhakti?
He says here, Pratak satrena vamahyam parvayatra mahol savan.
See, for example, in different temples, in different situations, devotee, so many different things are happening. Festivals are going on, or Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed in different places, in different situations, or Bhagavad Gita is discussed. And at that time, one should not think that, oh, I have nothing to do with that, that somebody else is doing it. I'm not a part of that. And that should not happen. You should go and participate to the extent possible. What extent possible? And depending on the capacity what we have got, when Krishna's festival is going on in big temples, or sacrifices, yajnam is going on different times, or some kirtanam is going on, or glorifications going on, wherever, to participate in them, to a possible capacity, to the possible capacity. And also able to follow that and make it as a part of life in all situations. And whatever that is possible for one, one should do that, not to the extent that is possible. And that is what Krishna calls it as Maharaja Vibhudibhi in that verse. You will see a word, Maharaja Vibhudibhi. See that? Vida Nrityadir Maharaja Vibhudibhi. Maharaja Vibhudibhi means all those things. So, that's not mean that, oh, I don't have the capacity to do such things. Doesn't matter, according to your capacity, what you can do, you should do that. And that is Maharaja Vibhudi, Krishna says here. That according to one's capacity, that's the most important thing. According to one's capacity, what is possible, what one should do. One should do that. And try to glorify Krishna in the proper way. And as much as possible, make that festival a success. And to that extent, how it can be made spiritual, in other words. It has to be turned into spiritual activity. And that Shraddha should be there, Krishna says. These are all Bhagavata Dharma in the external world. Avandara Vibhagam, it is called. That means it is meant for externally what you can do physically through the body and your mind. Now, next one is more important than that, he says here.
Mameva sarvabhudeshu bahirandarapavradam Ichedalpmanichalpmanam yathakham amalashaya.
He says, Mameva sarvabhudeshu bahirandarapavradam Ichedalpmanichalpmanam yathakham amalashaya. He says, that things what he spoke in the 11th verse is about conducting festivals and organizing, helping temples to do the, helping the society in other words, generally, to engage. If you can't do deity worship yourself, helping others who can do that deity worship. Because everybody may not be able to do everything in life, isn't it? You can see, when we discussed Kriya Yogam, remember that? Kriya Yogam, deity worship, we talked about. What did he say there? If you look, Uddhava said to Krishna in the 27th chapter, he began the chapter saying this, that this Kriya Yogam process, he says, that Uddhava says there, this Kriya Yogam process, if you look at the 5th verse, Edat Kamalabhatracha Karma Bandha Vimochanam. Kriya Yogam, deity worship, can release a person from the bondage of karma. That means it can purify a person. Deity worship can purify a person. Karma bandha vimochanam. Karma bandha means bondage due to karma. And freedom from that can happen due to deity worship. So, Bhaktaya Chanurakthaya Bruhi Visheshwareshwara. So, there, Uddhava said to Krishna, explain to me about this deity worship process, which will free me from the process of bondage of the karma, from the bondage of karma. That's how Uddhava asked the question. So, deity worship is a karma, isn't it? What you do with the body, sitting there, offering flowers, offering different, cooking different, that's all karma. But how can that help you to release yourself from the bondage? That was the question from Uddhava. Edat karma vimochanam, he said there. Karma bandha vimochanam, he says. So, Krishna explained deity worship in that way, in the 27th chapter. Now, Krishna is saying here, that this process of Bhagavata Dharmam, deity worship is also a part of that. If it is not possible, because if you read through Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Prarabdham with us. You can't deny that. Whatever you may say at the end, Prarabdham will get you. You can't fight against that, you're not going to win over that. And because there is Prarabdham, we have so many attachments in this world, relationships in this world, and you have to work. You have to earn money, you have to maintain this body. That is Prarabdham. Prarabdha Shariram this is. So because of the Prarabdham, everything what is spoken in the Bhagavatam may not be possible to do, for all of us to do everything. That's not possible. We can chant the holy name, we can read Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can follow the principles, but then we have to work also. And all these things to fit in this time span of 24 hours is very, very difficult. Plus, if you are in the householder life, you have other responsibilities also there. Responsibility means that there are others dependent on you in one way or the other, and so many things has to be done to keep the whole thing going. So Krishna is saying, Bhagavata Dharmam does not mean that you have to do everything on your own. If you can't do it, help those who can do it and who are engaged in that. Encourage them to do it. That is another way of doing that. He's saying that. Tadak satrena va mahyam parvayatra maholsavan karayat gita nrityandir maharaja vibhudibhi. Maharaja vibhudibhi includes all these things. Doing yourself directly or encouraging those who can do it and helping them to do it. To maintain them, in other words, looking after them. That also is can develop bhakti inside the heart. They are all subtle things, but it does work. That is why Krishna is saying that these things there. Now, in the 12th verse, Krishna is saying, Mameva sarvabhudeshu bahirandar abhavadam iched altmani chaltmanam yathakam amalashaya, which is a different thing. This thing is completely internal thing. Because every time when you see another living being able to recognize, Krishna is there also inside that person. That recognition inside. And it is Krishna who is inside that body also. When you are seeing a worm or another species, birds or animals, whatever it may be, Bheda Buddhi should not come. Oh, it's only a dog after all. Or it's only a worm. It's nothing. You know, feeling a kind of looking down upon them. That should not happen. Krishna is saying, at that time also, you have to recognize a presence, my presence in that. That's difficult, isn't it? That's difficult because so many things, this Bhagavata Dharma also is not easy. Nothing is easy in spiritual life. Everything is difficult. It's better to agree with that. So, but the principle is like this. Bhagavata Dharma is saying to us, when you are seeing other living beings in this world, What to talk about other species. Even among human body, we are not able to see equal. So imagine the problem. Among human species, we are not able to see equally everybody. We are seeing somebody we are putting on a higher level, somebody on a lower level. And somebody says he is good, somebody is bad. Somebody says he is always right, somebody is always wrong. So, Bheda Buddhi is so much Bheda Buddhi inside, even in the same species we are finding it difficult to get it off. What to talk about going to the birds and animals and the other species. So, whether it is human species, demons or worms, whatever it may be, or any animals, in all of them, Krishna is saying, you have to see me. Yathakam amalashaya. That's what he's saying. Just like the space is present everywhere, is it not? Space is, akasham is present, kam means akasham. Space is present everywhere. Similarly, Krishna is present in them also. To that extent, we have to become Krishna conscious. Then to recognize that when you see a worm, or when you see, we'll say a hog, it's a hog. Hog, as though it's enjoying in the stool or in the gutter, drinking all the filth. They are eating all the filth. But in that species also, Krishna is inside. We forget that at that moment, isn't it? We feel disgusted with the animal, its behavior. Or when you see certain animals, we feel that tigers, lions, they all frighten us because of their ferocious nature. And we are locked them up in the zoo and we stand outside and having a good look at them. That's not good. From Shastram, it's not allowed. We have done that because we want to enjoy our senses. Therefore, we have put them in the, locked them up in the zoo. And saying that it's all for tourists and it's all for our social happiness. But for one who wants to advance on the spiritual path, he can't do such a thing, because inside that body also, Krishna is present. Whether it is a tiger, or it's a rhinoceros, or it's an elephant, or even when a mosquito bites us, what do we think at that moment? Either we smash them down, beat them to death, and saying, oh, why does he enjoy my blood? This is the mood at that moment. No, Krishna says no. Even in that living being who is sucking the blood from us, there is Krishna present in that. To that extent, we have to become Krishna conscious. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then it is Bhagavad-gita. Yadhakam amalashaya. Mameva sarvabhudeshu behirandara bhavrutam. Ikshed altmani chaltmanam. Yadhakam amalashaya. Ikshed altmani chaltmanam. Yadhakam amalashaya. So, in this way, similarly, in all these living entities, no matter who it is, only the external body is different. But the living force inside is one and the same. They are not different. Just like you can, they say there that whether it is a earthen pot, or it's a flower pot, or it's a, whatever different types of forms you have made with the clay, it does not matter. It's all clay at the end, is it not? Similarly, but the sky within all these pots are not different. Similarly, only that is present everywhere, in everybody. Inside, outside, is only Krishna. Is only Krishna. And similarly, all these living entities, we have to always be conscious, they are all filled with Krishna. When we say that, you have to remember that what these refer to is Atma. When we say they are all filled with Krishna, means it is filled with that same Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan, whichever way you address it, that same force is present, Chaitanyam or living force is present in everybody, irrespective of what kind of name and form they have got. Irrespective of the Namarupam, able to see the presence of Krishna inside. We call it as Krishna because Krishna is the Antaryami of everybody in that way. So that is what is necessary, Krishna says here. And if these thoughts comes to one, then he can go further from there. So that's what he's saying. Ichet altmani chalpmanam. Ichet altmani chalpmanam. Yathakam amalashaya. Because once that if you see this Krishna's presence in all the living entities, like the sky, then at the same time you have to know that this Krishna who is present in everyone, he has no contact with the body. Like we discussed before, isn't it? We have no contact with this body. Body is there, but we have no contact with the body. Atma has no contact with the body. And this understanding won't come as long as we have ragadvesham inside. As long as we have ragadvesham inside, this realization won't happen. Krishna is saying like that. That is the reason why they say, initially, you have to build the temples, install the deities, and deity worship. All this is necessary to remove that ragadvesham from inside. It is for that purpose. To get rid of the ragadvesham from inside, we have to do all these things. And because only if the ragadvesham goes away, that subtle vision will develop inside. Subtle vision is this. To look at all living entities and to recognize that Krishna is present there. Otherwise, we will be too gross. You can see that. Normally, people think that that when we are very gross, we see very clearly that different species in different bodies based on the form. We are unable to see the presence of Krishna inside. Is it not? So that is why wherever this subtle vision is absent, there you will see more wars happening. It is due to absence of the subtle vision. You are ready for the war any moment. As soon as you upset me, I am ready to fight. This is what's coming from there. That nature to go into action straight away. Because there is no subtle vision. I am completely seeing you from the body. You are seeing me totally in the body level. But if there is the slightest trace of realization that there is Krishna present in that body, then you will find it difficult to go into war easily with others, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is mentioning here. So all this has very subtle influences on us, all what Krishna has spoken here. So that is why I say that Idi sarvani bhudani malbhavena mahadyude sabhajayan manyamano jnanam kevalam ashridaha. Idi sarvani bhudani madbhavena mahadyude sabhajayan manyamano jnanam kevalam ashridaha. So this one knowledge of Krishna's presence in all living entities as Sundariyami, and to take that knowledge seriously and keeping that all the time in our realizations and able to offer respects to all the living entities. That is an important step, Krishna is saying. Able to understand that Krishna is present in all living entities, therefore not to be disrespectful to anybody, number one. If we have this realization that Krishna is present in all living entities, Veda Buddhi will go easily from inside. Veda Buddhi comes where? Because you are seeing the body and judging the person. Somebody is rich, somebody is poor. Somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy. Somebody is good, somebody is bad. Why? Because of the Veda Buddhi in me. Inside me, I have so much Veda Buddhi I cultivated. Therefore, What happened? This is a big problem, because what happens is, in institutions also this will see. Somebody else will think that there is a hierarchy they have set up. And that hierarchy says that he is higher, he is lower. And all the managers and the leaders, they are following that. And you go and join them, you will also do the same thing after a while. Practically, it's all wrong. From top to bottom, it's wrong. It's not spiritual. This will happen in the institutions, in the karmi institutions. What I mean is in the offices, in the companies, in the managers and all sorts of, you know, wherever there is businesses are run. It is on this principle it's running, isn't it? Somebody is on the top and they will give you an organigram or which will be revised now and then. According to the people who fall, they'll be taken out. People who come in, they'll be put in. And they'll give you a chart, flow chart-like thing, starting from the top, to make you aware that where you stand in that. If you are a part of that, if you are not, you are below that. You will see this. Have you not seen that? In companies, if you have worked, they will always give you this. And regularly it is revised. Revision 1, 2, 3, it'll keep going like that. Why do they do that? To make you aware where you are, in what's your position in the system, where you fit in. And you have to be conscious of that. So, once you got that, whenever you see anybody in that list, you will look at him through that. You will see him that he's the big manager, big boss there. Or he's a little lesser than that. In this way you will see that. Veda Buddhi. That's Veda Buddhi. Now, if we do that in spiritual institutions, where is the difference there? So that is what Krishna is saying here. Once you come to spiritual life, that is the first thing to get it off from inside. There is nobody higher, there is nobody lower in these things, because you are seeing everyone from the platform of the soul. Platform of the soul. Therefore, he says here, purely depending on the knowledge, you have to live in this world, not based on the society or institution. And always conscious that akhandam, unbroken, satya chitta anandam is that Brahman. And everything has to be filled with Brahman. Brahman has to be filled in everyone, not the body. Not to look at the body anymore and start classifying people on that basis. That's false. That's really false. And if somebody is doing that, you can take it that that person is not very understood the spiritual life properly. So, what's actually our vision has to change. What is present in this world in the form of this creation is nothing but Brahman is present in this form in different living beings. So, to see all living entities as Krishna's abode, Krishna is present in them, so therefore it is Krishna's residence, that body is Krishna's residence. And seeing, and that knowledge has to be established very firmly inside. That means that you should not have any doubts about it anymore. To come out of this seeing people through the body, and rather seeing as Krishna's abode, every individual body in that way. And only you should deal with them in that way. Only you should deal with them in that way. Not see them as chief executive or the vice president or general manager or whatever it may be. Nowadays it seems to me that in all spiritual organizations also, it is becoming like that. Very much so. This trend to use up and hierarchy has come in too strongly. And that is the first thing to free oneself from. Because if you develop that mood inside, you will never make any progress in spiritual path. That's what Krishna is saying there. What's your understanding then? Krishna's question is that. What is your understanding then? He's saying there, isn't it? That iti sarvani bhudani madbhavena mahadyude sabhajayan manyamano jnanam kevalam ashrita. Completely based on the knowledge, it has to drive your spiritual life. Jnanam kevalam ashridaha. Completely under the shelter of the knowledge, the spiritual life should carry on. Iti sarvani bhudani madbhavena mahadyude sabhajayan manyamano jnanam kevalam ashrita. Jnanam kevalam ashrita. After saying that, Krishna is saying that this symptom of a person in knowledge is equal vision. First thing. Symptom of a person in knowledge is equal vision to everybody. Brahmane pulkase stene brahmanirke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva samadrik pandido madhaha. Brahmane pulkase stene brahmanirke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva samadrik pandido madha. So the first symptom of knowledge is equal vision. Equal vision. Equal vision means that I am seeing so many people, so many objects in this world, but the living force in all of them is the same. They are not different. Only that form is different outside. Somebody is old, somebody is young, somebody is man, somebody is woman, somebody is a child. And somebody is Indian, somebody is American. All these are external things. But inside all of them, that living force is one. They are not different. And seeing everywhere that living force is that equal vision. Is that equal vision? Brahmane pulkase stene brahmani arke spulingage akrure krurage jaiva samadrik pandito madha. The same thing you saw in the Bhagavad Gita also. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. So that samadarshitvam is the first symptom of a person in knowledge. Of a person in knowledge. So these difficulties will come in various ways when you are looking at people. You are looking at people. Due to the, sometimes we say, through the religion or caste, or due to their karma, what they are doing. Somebody is taking the garbage away. It's a garbage collector. Or somebody is working as a general manager or chief executive. It's possible that in our mind you will feel, due to the karmam, you may feel that, oh, he is doing a lower job, somebody else is doing a higher job. Krishna is saying that that is also troublesome. So due to karmam, it can happen. Due to gunam, guna means the person's modes of nature. In someone there is sattugunam, and somebody else there is tamogunam. Someone else there is rajogunam. Due to three modes of nature, you may start seeing people in a different way. Mainly it's due to modes of nature only. It happens. And similarly, he says here that chandala and pulkase means chandala. Pulkase is chandala. Chandala means lower people who are very, very bad habits, who does not have any civilized way of life. Even among them, or somebody who is stealing things, stene, one who thieves. When somebody is stealing something, we get, oh, he's a thief, we say, isn't it? So, even among them, or if it is a brahmana who is very charitable and giving to others as much as he can offer, and peaceful, and even if he be a spark of fire, okay, spilling again, and even in the sunlight, okay, Krishna is saying, in all these places, you have to know that Krishna is present in all these things. Krishna is present in the thief also. Krishna is present in the thief also. This realization is not easy because we are conditioned in the other way, opposite way. That's the problem. Whereas, that is why when Jesus Christ said that even those who are doing such things, we have to show compassion to him. How many people accepted that? Jesus said that, but it was difficult to accept that, is it not? And so this is there in all spiritual teachings or the great souls, Mahatmas, they will mention this. That not to see somebody purely, that is why when Krishna started the last chapter, Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi, he said. That is Subhavam and Karmam. But Subhavam and Karmam, what has it got to do with the Atma inside? Nothing. Atma has nothing to do with it. But Krishna is saying, don't look into Subhavam and Karmam, look into my presence in everybody. Whether he is a thief, or whether he is a murderer, or whether he is a criminal, whatever it may be, or even if he is a brahmana, still you have to see Krishna's presence in that person. That is spiritual life. Otherwise you can't progress. You can't progress. This is where vyavaharam will come a little troublesome. When it comes to vyavaharam, it is a problem, isn't it? So, that is why I say, brahmani pulkase steni, brahmani arke spulingage, akrure krurege chaiva, samadruk, equal vision, pandido mata. And he is pandita, Krishna is saying. That person who has, not the person who has studied a lot of books, and acquired a lot of knowledge from the books. He is not Pandita. As far as Krishna is concerned, Pandita is that person who has this equal vision everywhere. He is a Pandita because he has got it. You are still studying the books. I am still studying the books, but if I haven't got it, Krishna says you are not a Pandita. You are a Pandita when you have that equal vision everywhere. Pandita Samadarshina, he says here. He says, Samadrik Pandito Mata. In the Bhagavad Gita it is Pandita Samadarshina. He is a Pandita. So you can see the definition of Pandit itself is different from Krishna's point of view. Is it not? Krishna defines Pandita in a different way. Not the way we consider somebody as Pandita who has studied a lot of books, scholarly person. He says he's a Pandit, we say. But Krishna doesn't call him as Pandit. Krishna says one who has this equal vision everywhere, he is a Pandit. He says like that. So, that means all over equal vision. That means suppose you are seeing in everyone, not the body, but suppose you are seeing Krishna is present inside that body, and that is called Sarvatma Bhav. Sarvatma Bhav means this. The Atma Bhav, seeing a person from the spiritual level platform, not seeing the body anymore. So Krishna is saying, if you have developed this, in due course of time, he will realize the self. If you develop this vision, in due course of time, he will realize the self. He will realize the self. So, in the but Brahmana, Chandala, thief, or self-realized soul, the sun, the spark, Akrura means one who is very peaceful, and Krura, one is cruel. No matter whoever it is, the living force inside all of them is Krishna. And that you can't deny it. And what has happened is, in that, something else has come and joined it. What is that? Svabhavam and karma. In everyone, the essence is same. Atma, Krishna, who is present in everybody, is spirit, Atma, Sat. But something else has come and joined that. That is our svabhavam and karma. Svabhavam and karma. So, because of that, we are seeing everybody is different. The vastu inside has not changed. In everyone, it's the same vastu. Atma, Krishna, who is present in everyone. But in each one of them, something else has come and joined them. Due to that, things what has come and joined them, which is called svabhavam and karmam, because of that, we started seeing everybody is different, one different from the other. Otherwise, there is no difference. That's what Krishna's point. The differences have happened due to this. We started looking at the svabhavam and karmam of a person and started making decisions on that basis. And therefore, this Veda Buddhi has developed inside us. That is the reason what Krishna is saying there. So, so what has actually joined him? What has joined him is his vasanas, which is a part of the svabhavam, gunabhavam, the three modes of material nature, vasana, gunabhav, these two things. What earlier he said, svabhavam, karma, in other words. Svabhavam is the vasana, karma based on the gunabhav, three modes of material nature. So, based on that, because of the gunabhavam and vasana, everyone's svabhavam will be different. Is it not? Svabhavam will be different in a person because of the gunabhavam and the vasana. So, not to think about that too much. About a person's gunabhavam and vasana. Instead, think about who is he? That living force inside is Krishna. Therefore, that living force, which is present inside and outside in all the time, and there, that is the most important part in a person. So, giving importance to that and to realize that there is nothing exists outside him. He is the core. He is the core. The other things are, which has come and joined sometime in his life, in his long journey, passing through different bodies and different species. Now what he is holding on to is whatever svabhavam and vasana he has acquired in different lifetimes, that is there with him. But that is not him. The person inside is the real person, who Atma, Krishna, is present inside. So, that is what, but to us, it appears as though his svabhavam and karmam as the most important thing, and we start dealing with him, with that person in way. So, in that svabhavam and karmam, we start seeing differences from one person to another, one person to another. And that is the variation in the svabhavam. And let it be anything, doesn't matter what it is, but instead of thinking about that, always to recognize that, looking at that person saying, Krishna is present inside, and seeing, recognizing that and accepting that inside. And not bothering to look into the svabhavam or to the karma. To the karma. This is what Krishna is talking about. That is called sarvatma bhavam. Sarvatma bhavam means atma bhavam everywhere. To see as atma. And if this grows, then sarvatma bhavam will come. And sarvatma bhavam means he has become Brahma. Brahmam. And not Brahmajnani, but Brahma Surubam. He has become Brahmam itself. And this is what has to happen. And for that purpose, how to live in this world, and that is what Krishna has spoken in the previous chapters all. But Krishna is repeating that, how that has to be practically done in the life. How to do that? Practically in life. And that is that next verse. Next verse you will see there. Nareshu Nareshu Abhishnam Malbhavam Pumso Bhavayato Achiral Spardha Asuya Tiraskaram Sahankaram Viyandihi. Actually, these things, if you read well and you really understand that, and then you see how much is followed in other places, wherever you go, and then you will know that where they stand. Not a judgmental, not for that purpose, but then you know spiritually where people are. It's a very, very good indication to that. Nareshvabhishnam albhavam pumso bhavayato achiral spardha asuya tiraskaram sahangaram viyandihi. Sahangaram viyandihi. Krishna is saying here that a person who has realized this point seriously, who has taken, understood this very well, and is always conscious that Krishna is present in that body, such a person will be free from this, which are the spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, ahangaram. That means, spardha means, you know, asuya is envy, and tiraskaram, for example, people on a higher than you, you have spardha towards them. Enmity, or kind of, what do you say?
Competition.
Competition, you can say that, yeah. Not only competition, a certain uneasiness inside about them, because they are on a higher level. That is spardha. Asuya means on an equal level. On equal level, feeling envy towards somebody. That is asuya. Tiraskara means looking down upon people, somebody saying, oh, he's nothing. He's only a bhakta, he's just come yesterday. He's nobody, he doesn't know anything. What does he know? This is that you will see often, this kind of understanding, that is tiraskaram. So asuya equal, spardha towards higher people, tiraskaram towards the lower ones. Sometimes people do that. You will observe, people ask also to you sometimes. So these things are sahangaram viyandihi, that, and then ahangaram, the ego inside. All these things, Krishna says, one who has started seeing Krishna's presence in everyone. This is practical. That if you are realizing Krishna properly and Krishna's presence in all living entities, then this Veda Buddhi will go. This is Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi is this. Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, sahangaram, viyandihi. That equal people, you have ninda and also ahambhav, ahangaram inside, which is, all these things, spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, they are all tied to this one post called ahangaram. It is in, when you have ahangaram, these things will be there. Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram will be there. And that is what Krishna is saying there in that verse. He says there that, that Krishna is present in every living entity. Whether you are a bhakta, whether you are a guru, or whether you are a sannyasi, or whether you are a temple president, GBC, or whether you are prime minister, president, inside the essence is one and the same thing. Krishna is present there. Is it not? And to come to that understanding, that has to be made to grow inside, to realize that. That bhavam we have to cultivate. There is no other way. Instead of seeing people through the position what they hold, or the dress what they wear, or the car they drive, and judging people on that, if we start looking at this way, sarvalma bhavam will come. That's what Krishna is saying there. It's very difficult when the society, his whole society is looking up like that, in that way. So, and wherever, if it is not growing, the sarvalma bhavam inside, but instead Veda Buddhi is growing there, Krishna says the only solution is this, practice this Bhagavata Dharmam. That is the answer to that. That is the answer to that. And Krishna says that particularly, Krishna says, in the human body. Particularly in the human body. Because to see all others in this world without this Veda Buddhi, but instead of a manifestation of Krishna, and instead of seeing the body, to see them as a spiritual spark or living entities, and continuously to relate with them in that way, that is a takes practice, Krishna is saying. It takes practice. For example, he says that there are so many pots, and in all those pots, there is sky present inside the pots. And we have to see that the sky is the same sky which is present in all the pots. Pot's form may be different. Similarly, Namarupam may be different, but Atma who is present in all this Namarupam is one. They are not different. It's the same Krishna who is in the mosquito and who is present in the elephant. There's no difference. It is Krishna again, present in the mosquito as well as present in the elephant. So to think that, oh, elephant is superior and mosquito is nothing, that's wrong. And it is the same Krishna who is present in the wildest snakes and wildest elephant, wildest animals also, and who is present in the highly realized Brahmana as well. It's the same Krishna who is present in both. So Sarvatma Bhavam means Veda Buddhi has to go. How many places Krishna talks about Veda Buddhi? That is the whole problem of this Veda Buddhi. Till Veda Buddhi goes away, our vision is not proper. Our vision is not proper. It's not spiritual anymore. So, similarly, that every pot, every body is a pot. And in that pot, a little bit of Krishna has got inside there. Chaitanyam, as the living force. So, if you start seeing instead of the pot, rather the living force who is present inside, you will be able to realize that unbroken relationship with everybody else in this world. That there is a connection with all living entities through the spiritual path, in the spiritual way. Isn't it? Veda Buddhi will go away. So, while doing like that, the person who is doing that for him, he will come out of these three things. Which one? Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram. From all the three things, he will get freed. If he develops this Sarvatma Bhavam, that's the advantage. Sarvatma Bhavam builds this strength inside that Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram will go from that person. So, the person whom you are looking at, he won't go, that will not go away from him, but from the person who is looking at him, from him it will go away. And you don't have to look at it that way. Oh, is he getting free from Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram? You don't have to look at that. You have to look at yourself if that's going away from inside us. That's what's more important. So, it is enough if the person who is looking at get rid of that. Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram. It doesn't have to be that the other person whom I am looking at, oh, is he also free from all these three things? Because I am looking at him in this way. That's wrong. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, first thing, to get it off us from inside, our own. So, this spardha, spardha means that mutual that and dvesham or hate because of the higher position or somebody has got a lot of money or somebody has got a big name or somebody has got a lot of followers, somebody has got a lot of intelligence or somebody has got a lot of various reasons it can happen. Big position or powerful person, somebody can become envious of, spardha can come from that. And similarly, and unable to tolerate that. And similarly, somebody else is materially getting better or spiritually getting, progressing, and then feeling envy towards them. That's asuya. And tiraskara means completely ignoring others. Completely ignoring others. So all these things, ahangaram, spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, ahangaram, all these things, ahangaram means I am everything based on me. It's me around, centered, everything is around, centered around me. This understanding, all these things continuously degrades us. So, that particularly those people who are engaged in sadhana, who are engaged in spiritual sadhana, these things can drag him down. Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, ahangaram. These four things can drag a person down even if he is engaged in sadhana. in spiritual life. So, Krishna is saying here that these are to be removed by practicing it, like the way he has spoken there. And if you start able to see the Sarvatma Bhav, that means to look at everyone through Ishwara Buddhi. Ishwara Buddhi means to see that it is Krishna's manifestation in that form, which has come in that. If you start looking at them, then the other people, and slowly, and gradually, Krishna is saying, these four things will go. Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Ahangaram will go away from a person. And he says there, how that can happen? That means, this Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram and Ahangaram, Krishna says, that has to be got rid of by yourself, by your own effort. It cannot be helped by anybody else. That's the point Krishna is making here. Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram and Ahangaram, these four things, you have to get rid of by your own effort. Why? Your own effort. So, that means you can, subtle level, you can look at oneself and see that when you are seeing a person, what is that form and name and form feeling creating inside us? Feeling creating inside us. So if you look inwards yourself, you will see, is that very negative? Or is it causing any disturbances inside? That means that these things are present. Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Ahangaram is present. Instead, while looking inwards, when you see a person, any living entity in this world, depending on what reaction it's creating inside, you will know what is your state of mind. So, there are the negative thoughts what Krishna has spoken there, and he says there, such person, it will be very difficult to get Atma Bhav. Sarvatma Bhav won't happen. And the relationship has to be with everyone in a peaceful and relationship. With every living entity in a peaceful relationship. Instead of that, if you develop the other forms, what Krishna has spoken, and then he is degrading himself, Krishna is saying here. So, that has to be given up. And all living entities, Krishna is saying here, that one has to cultivate this. And therefore, he is saying, if it is difficult to cultivate, he is saying, then only thing you can do is that if you are still feeling strongly inside about anybody in that way, then don't feel ashamed, he says. Praname dandavad bhumau asya chandala ghokharam. Isn't it? He says there that whether he is from a lower birth or even if he is a donkey, and if you are seeing differences between you see them, then pay your obeisances to them. There was one devotee who lived about 100 years ago. He has mastered Ekadasham so well that after living a life for a long period of time, he wanted to experiment that in the world, whether it will work or not. What that means is, his realization was such that he said, when I go to the street, when I see a dog, or if I see a donkey, and when I go inside the temple and I see the deity, am I able to pay? When I pay obeisances, he started paying obeisances to the dog and the donkey and everything at some stage in life. He was very old, very, very old he was. In his early 90s he was. After practiced Ekadasha Skandham, studied well and analyzed well, thought about it very well, learned all the other commentaries on the Bhagavatam Ekadasham, and made his life and turned his own life in that way, with the way Krishna has spoken. And it is after that he wanted to experiment with the world. Is it working or not? How do you experiment that? The way he experimented that was, He will go and pay obeisances to your dog in the street. He'll pay obeisances to your donkey in the street. Then he will go and pay obeisances to the deity in the temple. So whenever you pay obeisances to the deity, of course in level of those devotees, they get a higher realization inside. They carry Krishna inside the heart. And what they experienced while paying their obeisances to the deity, what they observed inside what was happening. And when they paid their obeisances to the dog and the donkey, and if they are experiencing the same thing, what they felt when they paid their obeisances to the deity, they say that Sarvatma Bhavam has come to them. That is the proof of that. That is the proof of that. So from this you can understand what a long way that is to come to that, isn't it? We easily forget everything. Whatever Krishna is saying there, we will listen to all this, but when we go out, again the same old story continues. But Sarvatma Bhavam means, this is the way how they test it. This is the way they tested it. These are devotees who have studied Bhagavatam very well, chanted the holy name seriously for lifelong time, absorbed in the deity worship, in the Bhagavatam, Salsangam. In this way they spend their whole life. And after all, when you read Ekadasi Skandam and when Krishna is saying all these things, it's quite natural that you want to experience that, is it not, in this life? And it is one of such personality who spoken about this. He said that after all this, so many years of practice of spiritual life, the holy name and Bhagavatam and Prasadam, everything, he was like that because a lot of things in his life in later days happened in that way. So many, many things were developing in that direction in course of time. And he could not differentiate from one person to another. To anyone, everyone, he was equally disposed. Never shown any kind of bhedabuddhi towards anybody. Not even to animals. Imagine that. Not even to animals. What to talk about among the human body. He has come out of that. But then he wanted to make sure that he has reached that state, the freedom from Veda Buddhi. That's what he said. When I pay my obeisances to Krishna in the temple, and what I experience inside, am I getting the same experience when I pay my obeisances to the dog and to the donkey or chandala or whoever it is, it may be living entities outside. He did pay obeisances in the street to these outside people, thought there is something going on mad here. What's wrong with you? What can you do? That's the world. There's nothing you can do about it. But he spoke in that way and he practiced it and he proved it is possible to come to that state. That is what he's saying here. That visarjasmayamanan swan drisham vridam chadehigim praname dandavad bhumau ashwachandala ghokharam. That Visarjas Mayamanansvan Drisham Vridamcha Dehigim Praname Dandavad Bhumav Asha Chandala Ghokharam. Krishna is saying, because we are conditioned in the body, that's our problem, isn't it? Bodily we are caged. We are caged in this body. They are called Dehigim. Dehigim means you are in a cage. And due to the type of cage what we have got, we have identification with the cage. With this cage. So, therefore, because of Dehigim, everything what we do and what we think and what we act, everything is based on the body. Is it not? Everything based on the body. So therefore, anything related to others and then this differentiation, somebody is higher, somebody is lower, and the shame due to that, to give up all that, and to see the presence of the soul, visarjas mayamanan swan drisham vridam cha dehigim praname dandavad bhumau asho chandala gokharam. So he says here, smayamanan means those who are laughing at you. Swan means these are the people who causes problems. Those who are interested in your life, what you are doing and how you are living in this life. Similarly, swans. Swans means people are attached to your body. It means relations, particularly. Dehigim, they remind you of your body all the time. Even if you don't want to remember your body, they will remind you that you are the body. Drisham, vridam cha dehigim. So, remembrance of them and shame, what we feel when you have to, when you see them. Visarjya, that means to give up that. Ashwa chandala ghokaram. Krishna is saying that shava, dog, chandala, and similarly cow, donkey, all of them, dandavat bhumau pranamed. Fall down on the ground and pay your obeisances to them. Because all the time while paying obeisances, you have to be conscious of this fact that the there is no question of any differences between all these living entities, because the vastu which is present in all of them is one. That is the underlying principle. The vastu that is present in everyone is one. Is one. And that has to be firm. And that has to be completely accepted that. And then in that understanding you have to pay the obeisances. So that is a practical solution Krishna is suggesting there. I think we'll have a break now, isn't it? It's 4 o'clock.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bahumaha davagni nirvavanam Shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam mridipada purnamrida swadhanam sarvapna sovanambaram Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna magari bahuda vija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdeivami drishamihajani Manuragaham Pranaravishuni jena Taroravi sahishuna Amanina manadena Kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam nasundarim Kavidam vajagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmani ishwari Bhavadat bhaktirahai dugitvai Ayi nandadanyu jagingaram Padidam hamshame bhavambudav Krupaya tava padapanga jastida duli sadrasham vichindayam Nayanam galadashudharaya padanam gadgadarudhaya gira Pulagar nijidam kadavabo tavannam agrahane bhavishyadi Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam Shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumama darshanam marmahadam karyotuva Yadha dhada vavidada dulambado mal prananathastu nayevanaparam.
Visarjasmayamanan swan drisham vridam cha dehigim praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandala ghokaram. So, Krishna is saying that if you follow this process, what we are talking about, but the practicality of that is always there, isn't it? That praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandala ghokaram. That up to that point, Krishna is saying that up to the point till we have this samabhav, sarvatmabhav, that we are unable to see everyone on an equal platform. In the sense that it is only Krishna who is present here, nothing else. Till that realization comes, and up to that time, Krishna is saying, next verse, see that's what he's saying here. Yaval sarveshu bhudeshu malbhavam nopajayate tavadevam upasida vangmana kaya vrtipi. Yaval sarveshu bhudeshu malbhavo nopajayate tavadevam upasida vanmanakaya vruttibhi. What he is saying is that up to the point till you get this equal vision in everyone, or in other words, all the Veda Buddhi goes away from inside and realize that there is only Krishna here, nothing else. Yaval sarveshu bhudeshu, in all living entities, seeing the body has to go and seeing Krishna's presence inside has to be experienced. We are able to see like that. Vang mana kaya vruttibhi, he is saying there. But up to that point, through your words, through your mind, through your body, these three things, how it reacts with other living entities. Because that's where reaction happens, isn't it? When you see another person, in our words, it reflects. In our mind, it reflects. In our body, it reflects. So Krishna is saying here, till it happens, this Sarvatma Bhavam, presence of Krishna everywhere in that way, up to that point, this Vangmanakaya Vruttibhi Stavadevam Upasita, that this Upasana has to continue. Which Upasana? What this Krishna has spoken about. Like, Praname Dandavad Gumau Asho Chandala Ghokharam. To see, recognize that there is only Krishna here, nothing else, and skip on seeing in everyone and pay our respects to them, falling down on the ground completely. Like a dandam, like a stick, fall the ground. Whether it is Shuava, Chandalam, Go, Karam. Whether it is a dog, dog eater, or a cow, or a donkey, whatever it may be. Some devotees say, even if that cannot be done physically, at least while seeing a person with folded hands inside, remind us of Krishna's presence in that form. Even that can help. But Krishna's words are, he say you have to lie, fall down and pay your obeisance. If you do this, it will happen very fast. This realization will come much faster. But then you require the strength to do that. And the conviction also to do that, isn't it? So, and this samabhav or sarvatma bhavam, seeing equal vision everywhere, and that is what becomes Krishna conscious vision, in other words. And it has to be continued. And if it has become firmly established inside and in a natural way, then we will look at others in that way. With that realized understanding in that way. So, that is. And Krishna is stressing that again and again, you can see. Sarvam brahmaatmakam tasya vidya atmamanishaya paribhashyan uparamed sarvado muktasam shaya. Sarvam brahmaatmakam tasya vidya atmamanishaya paribhashyan uparamed sarvado muktasam shaya. A person who is following this process, Krishna is saying, he will see everything as Brahmam or Krishna. In other words, Krishna is Brahmam. Krishna is not different from Brahmam. And when he has in his subtle realizations, the subtlety of Atma is realizing that. Atma's subtle nature. And due to that, even Varnashrama Bhedam will go away from inside. Due to Varnam Ashrama, we have Veda Buddhi, is it not? He is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. That is Varnam Veda Buddhi. Ashrama Veda Buddhi is Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. All these things will also go. Same Vedam initially tells us to have Varnashrama Dharma. And that same Vedam is telling us finally to throw away all the Varnashrama Dharma. See that? This is Vedam. Vedic knowledge is like that. Everything up to the point of realizing the self. Once you have realized the self, throw it away. It's useless. So that is why Varnashrama Dharma, when we talk about introducing Varnashrama Dharma in the society, purpose of life is to have not Varnashrama Dharma in life. That's not the goal. Purpose of Varnashrama Dharma is to develop bhakti inside. It helps. Dharmam Varnashrama. Krishna says that. Shrutipada vihidam tvalparatvena bhaktya kurvando andar virage. There is a verse about Varnashram. That if you perform Varnashram dharma seriously, it will develop bhakti in the heart. But when bhakti comes to this stage of getting rid of all the Veda Buddhi from inside, Sarvatma Bhavam comes inside, that will lead into the destruction of the Varnashram also. There is no Brahmana, there is no Kshatriya, there is no Vaishya Shudra, all that is gone. Because you have realized a higher truth then. You come to the platform of the soul, there is no more Varnashram, it's all based on the body to a large extent. Is it not? So that is what Krishna is pointing out here. That at that point, and therefore at that point, he is free. He is free completely and he will become, he said, Paribhashyan Uparamed, Krishna says there. He is seeing Varnashram Dharma also has no meaning at that time. Uparamed. He has transcended that. Yes? Transcended that. Uparamed, he is saying. He has transcended Varnashram Dharmam also. So, Vedam tells us to follow Varnashram Dharmam strictly. And that Vedam finally says, throw that away. Purpose is over. Business is over. Why do we keep Varnashram Dharmam in? Because Varnashram Dharmam is also another cage. It is also Veda Buddhi. Anything related to Veda Buddhi must go at the end. That's the idea behind it. This is the beauty of the Vedic way of life, that they don't consider anything important till you realize the truth. Once you realize the truth, all this is useless. You can even throw away Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. You don't need it because you realize the truth. What do you need it for? Vedam also is to be thrown away at that point. It's all up to the point of realizing the truth, realizing the self, who we are. Once you have realized it, then what book? Book and all is for knowledge to cultivate, to help you in that process. But once you realize it, then book is also no good. Then the Varnashram Dharmam is also no good. Even deity worship is not necessary at that point. You come out of that. You are seeing that once you have started Krishna's presence in all living entities, where is the deity then? Which deity are we talking about? But initially, Vedam tells us to practice deity worship. It's all in the particular stages in life. This is because in the final stage, Krishna is saying all these things very well. At the final stage, what happens? So. But by then, this Veda Buddhi must go 100% from inside. Only then, after that. Once that Veda Buddhi has completely gone away, not even a trace of that inside, at that time you can stop everything. You can stop everything. So up to that time, all this we have to do. Deity worship we have to do. The holy name we have to chant. Srimad Bhagavatam we have to study. Varnashram Dharmam we have to follow. All these things. So, till we reach that Brahmanishta or Jnananishta or Yoganishta, whatever way we call it, it's one and the same thing. That up to that time, these lower practices, they are called the lower practices, which is helping you to come to that state, that should be executed. And once it is executed and this realization has come inside, Sarvatma Bhavam has come inside, then that Sarvatma Bhavam, if it has become your nature, you have established in that, in other words, then you can stop all practice of all the other things. All other practices you can give up at that point. And up to that time, you have to practice it. So that's what he's saying here. Sarvam brahmalpagam tasya vidyay almamanishaya paribashyan uparamed sarvado mukta samshaya. Sarvado mukta samshaya, Krishna is saying. He says, in all ways, by all means, he has become mukta samshaya. He has no doubts anymore inside that he is not this body. He is so convinced that he is Atma, Brahman. That realization has come to him. That is what mukta samshaya means. Sarvado mukta samshaya. He has no more doubts about anything. He is Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. That stage has come to him. There is no possibility of falling from that anymore. In that situation, he says, you can give up everything. And he also says there, such a person who is executing sadhana, and he is Brahman himself, and he will not fall into the sadhana process again, and he will also say he is established in himself. His real identity, he has got it back. What we have lost it, we have got it back. We have lost it now. At the moment, that's our state. We don't know who we are. When we realize the self, we got back our identity. That's what it is. We realize who we are. That's what happened. And then all these things can be dropped. Can be dropped. So that is what he's saying again. I am he, sarvakalpanam sadrijino mato mama, malbhava sarvabhudeshu, manovakaya vrittibhim. I am he, sarvakalpanam sadrijino mato mama, malbhava sarvabhudeshu, manovakaya vrittibhim. So Krishna is saying here, finally, that this realizing through this Bhagavad Dharma process is a good process, best of all, that you are realizing it directly without any other training. In the sense that you are only accepting this Krishna's words directly. That we have to see Krishna's presence in all living entities. Accepting that instructions wholeheartedly and practicing it and realizing it, Krishna is saying, is one of the best process to realize, provided it can be done, if it is done. So, that's why I say. So, but we should not think, again, we should not think this is only for this time in the historical time calculations. Only applies to this time. This applies in all times, this sadhana. Applies for all times, whether it is Satyugam, Kratayugam, Trayadayugam, Dwaparayugam, Kaliyugam, doesn't matter. Practicing one's identity, who we are, and coming to that state by following this process, Bhagavata Dharma. So, and there is no time, there is no particular season or time attached to that. Any time, any moment, anyone can follow this process. That's Krishna's words. That means through time or through which body you have. We all have different bodies, isn't it? Doesn't matter, Krishna is saying. Or what kind of swabhavam we have, what kind of karma we have. Irrespective of all that, if you have learned this technique to remain in this world without Veda Buddhi, without creating Veda Buddhi inside, always to remain in this state of pure Brahman, Brahman state, that means without any Veda Buddhi, not differentiating between one living entity to another. And if you are able to live like that, Krishna is saying here that is Jivan Mukti state. That is Jivan Mukti state. He is liberated state. So, and this will not change where you are living in this world, wherever it may be. And whatever anushtanam you are performing, irrespective of all that, that it can be practiced anywhere and everywhere. This realization can be brought into practice. It doesn't have to be in Vrindavan or Mayapur or anywhere. No matter where you are, this realization can be practiced and brought into practice, irrespective of where we are. Similarly, Krishna also saying, the same thing was done in the I am he sarvakalpanam. See that word sarvakalpanam? Sarvakalpanam means that of all the possibilities, various processes, in previous kalpams also great mahatmas have done this. And in the future kalpams, every day of Lord Brahma is a kalpam. So in future kalpam also mahatmas are going to do this, Krishna is saying here. And that is what he is pointing at. That this was always practiced in the past, it will be done in the future as well. You can see, look at Jadabharata and many others. That's what they have done, isn't it? They cultivated this inside and they realized it in the course of time. So, Mahyam Gobakrame Dvam So, Madharma Sodhuvan Vabi, Maya Vyavasita Samyat Nirgunatvad Anashisham. Says to Uddhava, why is it so special, this process? More and more, you start realizing me, Krishna says, that, and if you get desire to serve me, that is important. desire to serve Krishna, and that becomes your dharma. That means you feel very strongly about serving Krishna and accepting Krishna is present everywhere, and only Krishna is present here. If this conviction comes, very easily you will get released from the three modes of material nature. Nahyam gobakrame dhvamso madharmasya uddhava anu abhi maya vyavasita samyak nirgunatvad anashisha. Nirgunatvam will come. Nirgunatvam means that the bondage due to the three modes of nature, you will get released from that. And at that time, there is no possibility of any falls in there. Once the modes are left, then there is no problem of any falls happening. And you will become your relationship, that is not the state, what's called pure devotee. Pure devotee. There's no modes of nature in him anymore. Once the three modes of nature has left a person, he is a pure devotee. And so, therefore, Krishna says, this process is trouble-free, there's not much obstacles can come, and the chances of you getting falling down in that is also less. Maya vyavasita samyam nirgunatvad anashisha. Nirgunatval anashisha. Spiritual life is always like this. Krishna will say to you so many different options. Karma yogam, jnana yogam, bhakti yogam. Then again in bhakti yogam, so many different... based on, you remember that there is 9 processes of devotional service, isn't it? Shravanam, Kirtanam. Yeah. Now each one of them is under 3 modes of nature. Shravanam means Sattugunam, Shravanam means Rajagunam, Shravanam means Tamogunam. Similarly, so 9 times 3. So already it has become 27. Like this, it can go on and on and on. So various opportunities Krishna is presenting to us. One has to decide. Sometimes you have to do everything. Sometimes you have to do what is possible for you in your present state. So, but everything Krishna glorifies them, because ultimately they all lead to the truth. That is the beauty. Everything leads to the truth. Whether you, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna did the same thing, did he not? He spoke karmam bhakti jnanam, he spoke. Then he spoke about Pragati Purusha Vivega Yoga, one. Then another place he said Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. All yoga process only. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Pragati Purusha Vivega Yoga, then Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Then what else did he say? Devasura Sambad Vibhaga Yoga. And when you analyze that, they are all one and the same, but coming from different angles, Krishna is presenting it to us. Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Practically, if you take the essence of everything, it's one and the same. You have to become Krishna conscious. Freedom from the modes. Cultivating Shraddha in the goodness, passion and ignorance. Then Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, the three modes of material nature. Then Prakriti Purusha Vibhaga Yoga, that is Sankhyam. Then Kshetra Vibhaga Yoga. Another place. Is it not? So, where is the difference? One way Krishna says Kshetra Vibhaga Yoga. Another place he says Prakriti Purusha Vibhaga Yoga. And finally, Krishna brings everything together and says to us in the 18th chapter. Again, summarizes the whole thing. So similarly, in Bhagavatam also, it is like that. He has given us, Krishna himself has given us directly, the Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Aila Gita and Bhikshu Gita. 4 Gitas he has spoken before. And now Krishna is saying, and he summarized all that, and in the Jnana Yogam, he summarized all that very well. And now in the Bhakti process, Krishna is again summarizing the different processes in the bhakti and bringing it together in this chapter. That's what he is doing now. Bringing all, so many things he spoke about bhakti, did he not? In the 14th chapter, in the 11th canto, if you look, you will see everything what Krishna says, bring it down and finally tie it down to bhakti. But this bhakti is not the sadhana bhakti Krishna is talking about. It's the parabhakti stage. How jnanam and bhakti is connected together. So, here also, he says here that this sarvalma bhav or brahmalma bhavam, once that happens, Krishna says, once that happens, that person does not require, suppose he has got it, then he will have bhagavata dharmam in him. So suppose a person that he has come to this state, Jnananishtha, or Sarvatma Bhavam, suppose he has come to that state, then you can more or less say, Krishna is saying there, that person will have Bhagavata Dharma in him. So he points out here, just like he said that so many things you are cooking together, vegetables, spices, everything, but finally you require the salt in that to complete it. If there is no salt, even if you have used all other spices and vegetables, best vegetables, everything, you won't be able to relish it, isn't it? But that one ingredient, salt, changes the whole taste of the preparations, isn't it? What you have cooked. So similarly, and if you have not included salt in that, no matter whatever you have included, it's no good. Even if you have put ghee into it, it's still not good enough, isn't it? So, and other things, say they were not all there. Say for example, jeera, or mustard, or masala, whatever you have, coriander, whatever it is, if you are not included, still you may be able to eat that, if the salt is there. But if salt is not there, you can't have it. You won't relish it, would you? That's the point here. If bhakti is not there, no matter whatever other things you have studied, you have cultivated knowledge, you have done all satsangam and you have done various things, but if that thing called bhakti is not there, you won't relish it. Spiritual life won't be relished. That's the point Krishna is making here. That exclusivity of bhakti. Bhakti's special potency. He's saying, similarly Krishna says, you may have yoga siddhi, aishwarya siddhis, jnananishtha, you have a lot of knowledge and you are practically established in that. But even then, if ultimately you have not come to sharanagati, sharanagati is bhakti, isn't it? If sharanagati is not there, and attraction to Krishna, and attachment to Krishna, if that is not there, and if it's not there, then that Bhagavata Dharma, what you are following at that time, it will be difficult to sustain that, if bhakti is not there. Bhakti is like that salt. Although it's a little thing that goes into it, the impact it has on the whole thing is difficult to deny. Its effect is so strong that salt makes the whole preparation good, is it not? If there's no salt, we'll complain definitely. Sometimes nowadays people are cooking, saying that you've got health problems, so they're not using salt. And they're making barfi without sugar. It's not barfi anymore if there's no sugar, is there? I know many people won't agree. They'll say, oh, you got diabetes, or they'll say something else, they got the different kind of... Similarly, I mean, if you do that, then it's not anymore that. It's something different, is it not? So doctors will say that not to use too much sugar, too much salt. They say your pulse rate will go up, blood pressure will go up and all that. Therefore, people are not using salt sometimes. It's an austerity, I agree, but it's not... But it's not the... Then you should not call that as the particular preparation, whatever you call it, isn't it? It's not anymore that. So, so the same way. So similarly, if bhakti is not there, then whatever spiritual process you are following, it doesn't... It's quite right. It's not just not right. That's Krishna's verdict on that. He says bhakti is the one that makes it complete. Otherwise, it's not complete. Whether it is jnanam, whether it is karmam, whether it's yogam, doesn't matter. Bhakti is a ingredient in the whole thing. And that's the reason in Bhagavad Gita, actually bhakti is not spoken as a yoga system. You will notice that. Although there is one chapter referring to bhakti yogam, even that chapter if you read, it is not at all referring to the bhakti what we are talking about. It's a completely different thing. More stress is spoken about karmam and jnanam there. Is it not? Many chapters are Upanishads, jnanam, and many chapters are karma margam from the yajnam, Vedam. Yajna bhagam of the Vedam is taken and put it as karma yoga, first 6-7 chapters. And the last 6-7 chapters is jnana yoga from the Upanishads. And Krishna has brought them all together in the form of Bhagavad Gita.
That's what it is. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, Mahabharatam, and also Puranams have come in there. And then the Upanishads. This is what Bhagavad Gita is all about. Krishna has taken everything and packaged it together in that. But bhakti has not been spoken in such an elaborate way like karma or jnanam in the Bhagavad Gita. There's only very little references to that. But the point is, if bhakti is not there, this jnana yogam, this karma yogam, raja yogam, everything has no meaning. It will not sustain, it will not stay, it will go. That's the point Krishna is making here. That that because if there is no surrender, if there is no surrender, which Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Dharma, surrender, sharanagati is most important. If there is no surrender, and if there is no attachment to Krishna as a person, if that attachment is not there, that then this realization won't survive very long. Krishna says here, so, because the moment you come out of sharanagati, surrender state, if you come out of the surrendered state, mind will pop up. That's the problem. The moment you come out of that surrendered state, ahangaram, free from ahangaram, that is sharanagati, is it not? Remember sharanagati we talked before. What does sharanagati mean? Sharanagati means in that state where there is no ahangaram inside. So the moment you come out of that sharanagati state, mind will pop up again. Mind will pop up again. And if the mind pops up again, what will happen? Vikshepam will come. All thought waves will start coming. And when vikshepam starts coming, what will happen? Namarubam will come. See how one leads to another? When the sharanagati state, if you come out, if you are not in the sharanagati state is bhakti. And that bhakti is necessary whether you are in the karma yogam or jnana yogam or any other yoga process for that matter, ashtanga yogam for that matter. That is why you will see greatest jnanis also or greatest karma yogis also, they will always be very attached to bhakti process. They won't go away from that. They will still not wander around talking Vedantam. That's no useless. Because only if it is supported with bhakti, they know that. The moment they come out of that bhakti awareness of bhakti consciousness or surrendered consciousness, what will happen is the mind will pop up. If the mind pops up, vichayabam will come, thought waves will come. Once the thought waves comes, namarubam will come. Names and forms will appear. Once the names and forms will appear, then what will happen? Ragadvesham will come. See, one leads to another. Ragadvesham will come. And once the ragadvesham comes like that, then you are back into the same situation. Same situation. And then you'll start going down and down and down in that way. Therefore, under no circumstances, Krishna is saying, Bhagavata Dharmam should be given up. Bhagavata Dharmam should be followed all the time. Because, why Krishna is saying this? We have to give a little attention to that. Because, suppose a person, he had Bhagavata Dharmam followed very seriously from the beginning itself, and it has happened in the right way for that person, then it has not to be spoken again to him. It doesn't require any education on that. Because once it has happened to him, then it will not go away. It will not go away. What this means is that suppose this Bhagavata Dharmam has happened to a person seriously from the early days, that means he has understood that Sharanagati is important. And he took to Sharanagati very seriously and it has surrendered to Krishna, then it will never go away from him. It will become his nature. That means he doesn't have to practice it and bring it back later. Ahangaram has completely disappeared from inside. Therefore, everything becomes easier for him in spiritual life. That means cultivation of knowledge, shastram and realizations, all that comes one after the other because of the strong Sharanagati behind. Strong Bhagavata Dharma behind. So, in a natural way, it will survive there. So, Krishna is saying here that for those qualities what you find in a person, when he is in surrendered conditions, there gunabhavam cannot happen to him. Gunabhavam means the three modes of material nature. And therefore, there won't be any bondage through the modes of nature. And if there is no bondage through modes of nature, then parichedam won't be there. Parichedam means this breaking up. People in different ways. Three modes of nature is one of the reasons why we have this Veda Buddhi in us. So in that situation,
the same consciousness like Krishna has, to see everyone on an equal level, will come to that person. And that is the result of that Sharanagati. Sampurna Sharanagati means complete surrender. Now from this you can understand, bhakti means surrender. Bhakti is nothing but surrendering to Krishna all the time. Not the sadhana what you do, not the big projects what you run in this world. They are there only to get rid of the karma vasana from inside. But proper bhakti is always in that surrendered state to remain in this world. And that is what Krishna is saying, that it is at that time, when it comes to that, will there not be any relationship with Krishna as the servant and the master? That problem is still there, isn't it? The servant and the master. Is that not duality? That question will come. Because duality has not left. You have given up duality everywhere else. But with Krishna you have a dual relationship still. Dvaitam. Dvaitam is still there. And but point is, Krishna's point here is, he's saying here that at that point, you don't have to worry. Even at that, if you have reached that stage, suppose your Veda Buddhi has gone all over the world, but with Krishna you are still seeing, he is the master, I am the servant, that in that, in it comes to the peak, Krishna says, that Dvaita Bhavam also will go at that point in time, not now. When everything has gone in the world first in the world it has to disappear. But finally it will still remain between you and Krishna. There is this duality. Dvaita Bhavam is still there. And that Dvaita Bhavam also, when your Veda Buddhi in the world has completely gone and you are established it permanently in that state, finally you will see that will also disappear from that. That up to that point, this duality is not harmful in relationship with Krishna and the devotee. Because what happens? At that point, what's happening is, because the surrender is so complete, and all the Veda Buddhi in the world has gone away, Krishna says to us, there is no difference between you and me. It's me who is inside you. There is no difference at that point. It is a very highly elevated state. That happens. But that is a state which is finally the what Narada Maharshi says in the Bhakti Sutra. You will see. Ananya Bhakti. Remember that word? Ananya Bhakti. Bhagavad Gita also that word is used. Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti means at that point even that difference is gone. Removing differences all the time. How can, at that point, how can one think any time in terms of his own individuality? There is only Krishna existing here. And this conditioned body, due to the presence of the body, only we feel that Sevya Sevaka Bhava. Krishna is the Savior and we are the Sevaka, the surrender, the servant, master and the servant. Even that will finally melt and that will disappear. That is what Krishna is saying like that. So, yeah. Nahyango vakramedhvamso madharmasya uddhavanu api maya vyavasida samyag nirgunatval anashisham. That Krishna is saying that once this three modes of material nature, that is gunabhavam, once that is destroyed, there is no more desires inside in your surrender. It is all completely surrendered state and therefore there won't be any more problems afterwards. But realized persons, they say that difference between us and Krishna. Because actually, that is why when they say there is only Krishna here, we, because of a hangaram inside, we felt that we exist separately from Krishna. And we always want to have our own way things happen. Our own existence is important for us. But by this stage, due to surrender, Krishna says, Sharanagati, when that happens, and when this Veda Buddhi has gone away in the world, everywhere there is only Krishna's present, finally you will also realize only Krishna is present. With that, your Veda Buddhi also has gone from Krishna. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.